Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Bum, 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 bum. All right. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex Jones. And I'll be here all week. We got a jam-packed week. Plenty of guests. Plenty of news, actually. Plenty of things that Alex hasn't covered. I came down here Thursday, and pretty much by Friday, I was helping out on the Obama film. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about this film because so many people are fooled by this guy. And I know that Alex has been harping on it, but this is what's coming for the future, and I think it really, really needs to be discussed. I mean, when people like I ignored it when Joe Biden said there was going to be some huge crisis and mark my words, Obama will be tested. I ignored it. I thought, you know, he's just rhetoric and election trying to get elected. But when I saw the Colin Powell clip, and I've been kind of out of the loop, where Colin Powell gives a date of January 20th or 21st, or I'm sorry, it's 21st or 22nd. A crisis that the people just don't even know about yet. That perked my ears up. Because what you have here, first of all, Biden is a total establishment candidate. And to prove that, I mean, some of Biden's ideas are simply just unbelievable. In the 90s, he wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal. I believe it was in 1992. I'm grabbing it right now. And it was called How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Now, basically, he tries to pose the position that if you're pro-liberty, pro-constitution, you're an isolationist, and that's not how things are going to get done. Basically, he's a total globalist. He's CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. And there's this Mao quote I want to find here. I printed it out. It's unbelievable. Basically says that we have to be slicker than Mao ever was in order to do this. he's basically saying we can't go down the barrel of a gun all the way. He talks about Dick Cheney. He's very, 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 very critical of Pat Buchanan's positions in the early 90s. So this is an establishment guy. He knows damn well what's going on. I mean, he asked Judge Roberts about how he was going to rule when he had to decide whether human beings should be taking a chip or not. That's right, a chip, a track and trace government chip. And then it got even more Minority Report. And we're going to play that in 1 second. I got it pulled up right here. And he said, you're also going to be ruling, mark my words, on whether we can scan people's brains to see if they're going to commit a crime. So let's play that clip really quick. It's a quick clip. We don't have any audio.
His body to track his...
Hold on. There
can-
we go.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
And really, that was not that long ago. I think that's about 3 or 4 years ago when Roberts was confirmed for the Supreme Court. And why do I harp on Biden in the beginning? Well, Biden's over in Pakistan amid the India tensions, the Mumbai attacks, you know, the fact that we're now demonizing Pakistan a little bit. But I want to read you this article out of Yahoo News. Pakistan said Friday that it sent feedback and information to India about the Mumbai attacks. And Joe Biden came here to underscore how seriously the incoming U.S. administration takes the terror threat from South Asia. Yeah, that's why you're meeting with the head of the ISI. You know, the ISI again had their hands all over 9/11. New Delhi recently said it gave Islamabad a dossier of evidence linking the Mumbai attacks to Pakistan, but it was unclear if Pakistan's feedback related directly to that dossier. So basically, he went there to, you know, reestablish CIA connections so they can cover this whole thing up. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis sitting in. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we are back. And Joe Biden is in Pakistan now, basically trying to cover up the ISI and CIA role in the Mumbai attacks. Let me just show you how closely associated they are in the next few paragraphs of this article out of Yahoo News. Biden visits Pakistan amid India tensions. Jilani told reporters that the CIA had played an intermediary role and that Pakistan's premier spy agency, the Inter Services Intelligence, had reviewed the information from India. He gave a few other details. An intermediary role. Now, they set them up. They've controlled them heavily since the late 70s. I mean, British intelligence set them up in the late 40s. So really, they've been heavily controlled the entire time. India gave 52 pages of information to the CIA that was passed to the ISI, and the Pakistani agency gave feedback and information that was handed to India in return, Jilani said. The America CIA and Pakistani ISI have an old working relationship. If any information is required, we are ready to cooperate. All right. Now, the Pakistani ISI and the CIA have their hands all over the Mumbai attacks. You send a guy like Joe Biden in there who really he's known about the Pakistan role in this intelligence forever. He gets on the floor. In fact, yeah, he brought up the clip already. Great job, Jaron. See, this guy reads my mind on what I want to play next. And basically, Joe Biden is well aware that the Pakistani ISI carries out black ops, false flag terrorism. See, it's called plausible deniability. So what they do in, say, a 9/11 case is they fund the hijackers through the ISI. You know, Muhammad Atta was caught taking a $100,000 wire transfer from the ISI, the head of the ISI, through Omar Syed Sheikh, who had his hands all over the Daniel Pearl murder. Supposedly, according to Benazir Bhutto, before she was murdered, somehow assassinated Osama bin Laden. That was on the BBC, never to be played again. So, again, this is a cloak and dagger network in the Middle East, and Joe Biden is well aware of it. In fact, on 9/12, he got on the floor of the Senate, and he threatened Pakistan, saying that they were pretending to be our friends. He met with the head of the Pakistani ISI while he was in Washington, D.C. the week of 9/11. And that same gentleman, General Mahmoud Ahmed, was also meeting with the likes of George Tenet, the then head of the CIA. And then on the morning of 9/11, of course, he's having breakfast with the two co-chairs of the initial congressional investigation, Porter Gross and Bob Graham. So let's play the teaser from my film, Fabled Enemies. You can get it right now at Infowars.com, where you can really see Joe Biden and his knowledge of the Pakistani ISI.
Senator Joe Biden, who had also met with the head of the Pakistani ISI, would have harsh words on the Senate floor.
And the word should go out to those who pretend that they wish to be our friends, that they're going to have to make some very difficult choices. Pakistan in particular is going to have to make a very difficult choice very soon. Words will not be sufficient. Actions will be demanded.
When Biden was confronted, he confirmed his meeting with Ahmed, saying Pakistani intelligence was indeed funding the Taliban.
Sir, one question. In the days following 9/11, you met with the head of Pakistani ISI, General Mohad Ahmed. It has since come to light that he ordered Syed Sheikh to wire $100,000 to Muhammad Atta. Why was he allowed to go back to Pakistan, and why wasn't he questioned, and why were you meeting with him?
I met with him to deliver a message that if he didn't stop supporting the Taliban, we would take him out.
Why did we let him go? We let him fly freely. We never investigated him. We never even looked into him.
Look, there's a thing called diplomatic passports. We did not arrest Khrushchev when he came.
But he financed the hijackers, and you let him go, and he's free. He hijacked the hijackers.
No one knew he financed the hijackers.
It's wired. It's reported.
He would later state that the information was indeed classified.
How did you know
the ISI was helping the Taliban, sir? How did you know they're helping them out? Is it classified?
So there you have it. And I want to read this quote from
his article back in the 90s in the Wall Street Journal, How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Most Americans, myself included, reject the 1930s-style isolationism. They expect to see the strong hand of American leadership in world affairs, and they know that economic retreat would yield nothing other than a lower standard of living. You hear that? They understand further that many security threats, here are the security threats, the spread of high-tech weapons, environmental degradation. Okay, it's all about global warming, getting you ready for a carbon tax even in the early 90s. And tell you, I mean, that's their plan. Overpopulation. Okay, so who are we going to kill? What do you mean overpopulation? I mean, it's not just about birth control. When you run eugenics programs in Africa and you allow these third world nations to have, you know, high child mortality rates, the spread of disease, improper care, you send in people to immunize them for quote unquote malaria, and then you sterilize 100,000 people. In fact, I'm going to have to get that article. That's an old school article. I mean, we accidentally sterilized all these people. Sure you did. So again, high-tech weapons, environmental degradation, overpopulation. The next one's narcotics trafficking. Well, who ships in all the drugs? We do. We do. And that's another thing. You know, Barry Seal and all those guys get caught. Some of them come clean, say that they're running drugs from South America in exchange for weapons that they're bringing down there. And then Seal goes public and they try to make him out like a hero, that he was working to entrap Noriega. Noriega is a 26-year CIA asset. And then Seal gets gunned down later, assassinated. Narcotics, trafficking, migration require global solutions. See, everything's about globalization. Here's the part I really like. What about America as Globocop? First, our 21st century strategy has to be a shade more clever than Mao Zedongism, and that power became from the barrel of a gun. It just has to be a little more clever than Mao's philosophy. Because, again, the CIA funded and backed Mao. Unbelievable. Power also emanates from a solid bank of balance, the ability to dominate and penetrate markets, and the economic leverage to wield diplomatic clout. So also have to have control of the economy. Biden is bad news Brown, and he's a likable guy. It's really unfortunate, folks. And I you know what? I want to give a shout-out before I forget to BL. I don't know if he's listening, but folks, the only reason that we're able to get some of these news clips, a lot of them aren't on the internet, is because, you know, some of you listeners out there tape C-SPAN for us, tape CNN Headline News, tape O'Reilly for us, and you send us DVDs. And that's what we're really in the middle of doing, is going through all these DVDs, and I've been capturing so much Obama stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I don't want to spoil too much of the Obama stuff that we've captured, but folks, if you're not listening, he says he's going to send more troops into Afghanistan. You see, when they say that they're going to get rid of all the troops in Iraq, that's not true. What they're going to do is they're going to redeploy most of them to Afghanistan. They're going to keep a certain number of them in there, and they'll probably bring in some kind of a NATO or Blackwater force to regulate further. And really, that's been one of the plans all along, is to create a Eurasian Union out of this. You know, people like Brzezinski have wrote about it for years. I mean, people like Brzezinski were on the Obama advisory team for his election, and they're the same guys that literally brought you al-Qaeda, trained the Mujahideen, radicalized them. You know, the same guys that were involved in, turning Osama bin Laden into an asset for the CIA. And the list goes on. So, you know, the Obama thing, it's just totally amazing to me. Before he was on Letterman, he went on Letterman on September 10th of this year. And he gave a pretty, it's a lighthearted back and forth. You could tell Letterman was a supporter. Letterman even brings up 9/11. And, you know, from what I understand, there was a breakdown of many of the systems. And really, Obama really whitewashes the whole thing. He like half agrees with Dave, but says, you know, any president under that stress, and we could have never foreseen it. You know, the standard liberal, I'm not really going to look at any of the hard questions answer. But when he was a senator, he went on there and he talked about building a world order. And of course, he went to Berlin, Germany, and gave a speech this year where he talked about global citizenship and we're all going to have to come together and do our part. And, you know, even in his acceptance speech, he said, you know, I am going to call on you, and you're going to have to help me and give service to this country and sacrifice. So, you know, get ready for this movie. Let's play the clip of, unfortunately, at the end, the guy repeats world order a couple of times. We can't find the clip clean. In fact, there you go, listeners. I could really use some help. If you can give me Obama's first appearance on Letterman, I'd really appreciate it. Obama calls for a world order.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like.
Yeah, unfortunately, why do people do that? You kill me with that. But again, you know, he's basically telling the people of the Middle East that we're going to have to give them a stake in this new world order. You know, in fact, in this How I Learned to Love the New World Order speech, Dick Cheney is quoted about the new world order in it as well. But he was a huge New World Order proponent. You know, for my new film I'm working on, Invisible Empire, I have this clip where Dick Cheney basically goes before the UN and signs a document on the New World Order. And what's her name? I think it's Connie Chung. Yeah. What's it? Maury's wife there. She's the one reporting it. But the New World Order doesn't exist. You know, it's just a figment of my imagination. Apparently, Joe Biden can write articles about it. Dick Cheney can be quoted on it and sign documents about it. But I'm the kook. Coming up after this, Colin Powell warns us all about January 21st and 22nd.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. I'm Jason Burmes. I'll be sitting in all week. Alex Jones taking a much-deserved vacation with his family. I wish him the best. And it's the new year. We got a new president coming in. He'll be sworn in. I think it's just over a week now. I think, what's today, the 11th? Am I totally missing the day? It's going to be soon enough. And people like Colin Powell, is it the 13th? Am I that far off? 12th. Oh, it's the 12th. So, yeah, what do we got? We got 8 days. We got one day over a week. That is correct. And first of all, when I'm watching him actually get into office, I mean, again, we're going through the tapes. People are talking about how his transition team was ready since May. They knew somehow they were going to be president since May. All right. And then, of course, we know that Obama goes to the Bilderberg meeting right after he's chosen as the Democratic nominee. He goes there with Hillary. I mean, come on, folks. If you're naive enough to believe that Obama ditched his entire press corps, okay, had his aide basically sweating bullets trying to make up some kind of a lie of where they were. They put out disinfo that they're at Hillary's house. They have to admit that's a lie. And then later the story is, oh, we were at Dianne Feinstein's house. No, they were at the Bilderberg meeting with 144 of the world's elites and a few that are off the record, people like Henry Kissinger, people like David Rockefeller, people like Greenspan, Condoleezza Rice. I could go on. And David Gergen kind of called it during that secret meeting as I was going over the footage. He says, well, you know, whether or not it's over the vice presidency, there's a very good chance she could be Secretary of State. And, of course, that's exactly what she's going to be. So it really does worry me. And they also said that Obama was going to come out with some executive orders out of the gates. Well, that's pretty crazy. I mean, and it's all over the news. Now people are being prepped. Finally, the news is telling you this is the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. I'm seeing that everywhere. You know, Alex Jones called it years and years and years ago. He warned you as they, you know, inflated the dollar to nothing, gave you a fiat currency, basically took away all the values, invested in foreign assets, robbed your pensions, took away the entire industrial market here. We don't make anything anymore. And really the last thing we did make is cars. And it looks like ultimately that's going to go under as well. I believe Toyota, the Japanese car company, posted its first loss since the 50s. All right, when Japan is hurting on their deal. In fact, I got an article right here how bad it is. Where is that article? Right here. Manufacturing slumps at fastest pace since 1981. You know, I know a lot of you guys are living in the past, but 1981 was now 28 years ago. Okay? Almost 30 years ago. This is out of Reuters, by the way. Factory output slumped in November at its fastest annual pace since 1981, increasing the likelihood that the economy shrank sharply at the end of 2008 and faces a deep recession in 2009. The Office for National Statistics said on Friday manufacturing output was 7.4% lower than a year earlier, its biggest fall since June of 1981 when Britain was in the throes of the industrial meltdown that disseminated its car industry decimated its car industry and coal mines. Yeah, see, our car industry is over with. It's done. Production was down 2.9% in November alone, the biggest monthly fall since one off-plant closure for the Queen's Jubilee of the summer of 2002, and more than four times the drop forecast by economics polled by Reuters. Yeah, see, these guys, these economists, these economists need a job. They need to be able to comment for Reuters, for CNN. So, of course, they're not going to play it up as bad as this. You know, at least Cramer goes off a little bit for as bad as this, but he's telling people to reinvest in the market. Market's dead. It's about gold and silver. I mean, gold's taking a little bit of a hit right now, but you get it while it's cheap because it's always going to have a value. You know, silver's taking a little bit of a hit over the last few years. Guess what? Get it while it's cheap because it's going to still have value. I mean, quite frankly, and I hope I'm wrong about this, when Colin Powell talks about a crisis that the American people don't know about on the 21st or 22nd, imagine if it was a total and complete collapse of the dollar and it was a restructuring of our economic system. There might be some serious, serious riots going on in the streets. But Obama might bring us together. I mean, after all, I can get a T-shirt at the mall with his face on it. And not a Yes We Can T-shirt, like I said. It's not a Vote For Me T-shirt. It's the new hip wear. When I flew in, the guy's wearing the Obama Ruby hat. So on the other side, we're going to play this Colin Powell clip. I keep hyping up. And we're also going to take your calls. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Out your window when I'm leaving, I won't even turn my head. Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking. I'll be gone, like I said.
All right, folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. It's hard to come in on Johnny Cash. It's good tunes. But I'll tell you what's not good times. It's people like Madeleine Albright saying we're in for a crisis. People like Joe Biden saying we're in for a crisis. And really, the spookiest one is the Colin Powell giving a date. Not, you know, 2 months down the line or 3 months down the line, something's going to happen. But an actual date of when this thing is going to go down. The 21st or 22nd, apparently, there's a crisis that nobody even knows about yet. Well, the only thing that I can, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm way off here, but seeing we're actually hearing people talk about economic crisis, Bush went on the news last night and looked like he was going to cry, basically. And, I made some mistakes. I can't believe this happened under my watch. Forgive me. Forgive me. Whatever. He's just going to be golfing in Dubai in the next few months, I'm sure. So let's play the clip. Let's play Powell telling us that there's going to be some kind of a crisis. It can only be economic in my mind.
I would start with talking to the American people and talking to the world and conveying a new image of American leadership, a new image of America's role in the world. the problems will always be there, and there's going to be a crisis come along on the 21st or 22nd of January that we don't even know about right now.
All right. Now, that's spooky to me. So, I'm not calling for Armageddon. I'm not saying everything in the world is going to collapse, but I really think that there is going to be something. I mean, if it's not on the 21st or 22nd, possibly the end of January, the beginning of February, and, you know, in the economic turmoil we're in, maybe they're just going to say, you know what, Social Security's gone. We're keeping it all. That wouldn't shock me either. All right. I want to shift gears a little bit. I've harped on Obama. We've got a movie coming out. It's going to be awesome. You're really going to see behind the scenes. I mean, you know what? We should play one more Obama clip before we get off the subject, because I mentioned that, you know, Obama and Hillary met in Bilderberg. That's probably where it was decided whether she was going to be Secretary of State or not, where her role was going to be in the administration. And one of the big Bilderbergers out there is a guy named Henry Kissinger. You may have heard of him. Okay. Mr. Kissinger was on CNBC last week. And actually, you know what? Just play the clip. Let's hear what Mr. Kissinger has to say about Obama and what he should be doing. Remember, this is a Bilderberg.
The president-elect is coming into office at a moment when there are upheavals in many parts of the world simultaneously. You have India, Pakistan. You have the jihadist movement. So he can't really say that it's one problem, that it's the most important one. But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
Are you confident about the people, President Obama?
All right, there you go. So, again, I mean, Kissinger's been pulling for a new world order since the 70s. He's saying that this is yet another great opportunity for a new world order. You notice that it has a nexus point with the India and Pakistan situation, and of course the jihadist movement that they created. Let me say it again, that they created by radicalizing the freedom fighters into the Mujahideen, into quote-unquote Al-Qaeda, all right, which is really just a CIA database file name for the base. Okay, that's just a database on all the Mujahideen fighters. You didn't know that? I mean, it's pretty common knowledge. I know people like to stay in their childlike state of ignorance and really just worry about their new iPhone app. You know, yeah, you can drink a beer on the iPhone. You ever seen it? Who cares? It's absolutely ridiculous. But you tell them something like this, that, you know, Barack Obama is not good for America, that he's an internationalist, that he's somebody who's meant to bring us together and bring us into a North American Union, a new global currency, possibly. It'll probably be a North American currency, but possibly a global currency. Who knows? Who knows what these people will do? All right, I want to shift gears. When I saw this today, you know, I was just, for some reason, I wanted to bring up, you know, the genetic modifications, what they're doing, because this is a new scientific society. I mean, when Joe Biden talks about microchips and brain scans, that's not the only thing around. And we'll play the video probably when we actually get on the air, because I want you to actually see this, but I'm gonna read the article. Now, this one is out of National Geographic, but there's also an MSNBC article. We'll talk about that later. Glowing pig passes genes to piglets. Now, I think it was about 3 years back, I remember watching Countdown with Olbermann, and all of a sudden I saw these pigs that were glowing in the dark. And what they had done is they injected them with jellyfish DNA, and it made them glow. You know, these things were chimeras, and a chimera is the genetic splicing of more than one organism. And I was just like, whoa. And this is the public stuff. This is the stuff they're showing you. This is the stuff that's fun and out in the open. Well, turns out that these clone pigs have reproduced, and you bet they passed those genes on, and now we have a species of glow-in-the-dark piglets. A clone pig whose genes were altered to make it glow fluorescent green has passed on the trait to its young, a development that could lead to future breeding of pigs for human transplant organs, a Chinese university reported. See, back in 02 and 03, they were saying that they were going to use pig organs that were slightly mutated, you know, for organ transplants to human beings. And I'm not against that. But when you make a pig glow in the dark just for the sake of it glowing in the dark, something might be wrong there. Two of the 11 piglets glow fluorescent green from their snouts, trotters, and tongues under ultraviolet light, according to the Northeast Agricultural University, located in the city of Harbin. Okay, so only two of 11. That's interesting. Their mother was one of the three pigs born with a trait in December 2006 after pig embryos were injected with fluorescent green protein. Continued development of this technology can be applied to the production of special pigs for the production of human organs for transplant. See, I would imagine that they've probably gone a long way from going public 5 or 6 years ago, but that technology, see, it's just like cancer research. They've got plenty of cancer treatments out there that actually do work, but they're suppressed. I mean, when a guy in Erie, Pennsylvania, John Kansas, can come up with a way to make, you know what, that's, we got to pull that clip up too, because no one's going to believe me. I think I've discussed it before, but we're going to talk about John Kansas. This guy was a former radio broadcaster. He was an engineer, and he got cancer. And in the middle of the night, he came up with an idea to make a frequency machine to kill his cancer out of his wife's pie pans. Okay, just type in saltwater burns, and it'll come up in YouTube. And basically, he injected himself with a metal particle, and he put himself through the machine, and it killed the cancer cells, leaving the other cells fine. Now, why aren't we talking about this research? Why isn't this all over the place? Well, Joe Biden told you in his little article, How I Learned to Love the New World Order, when he talked about overpopulation. Even with all their little eugenics programs and all their depopulation programs and their mercury in the vaccine and their SV40, that's simian virus 40, it causes cancer in apes and other hominids, basically human beings. And they put this stuff in there, and they soft kill us. It's not even funny. It's sick. You know, that's why autism's up. That's why the population's so dumb. They fluoridate the water. I mean, these are real eugenics programs being carried out on the population as a whole, not just you and me, but really even worse in other areas. And they suppress all this technology, you know, this clean energy, free energy. Do you really think they want people to have free energy? No, it's another tool of control. They want to control your consumption of how much heat you can have in your home. That's what carbon credits are about. It's the next level of this. All right, let's play this clip right now. This is it right here, I believe. Go for it.
Instead of paying almost $4 for gas, how would you like to run your car on salt water? Now, it may sound crazy, but wait until you see what a local inventor has come up with that could change the world. And as Channel 3's Michael Mara shows us, that's not all he's trying to do.
We need to get it to around 100 feet.
Retired TV station owner and broadcast engineer John Kansas was not looking for an answer to the energy crisis. He was looking for a way to cure cancer. 4 years ago, inspiration struck in the middle of the night. Why not use radio waves to kill the cancer cells?
And the best thing that would work as antennas was I could find at 3 o'clock in the morning was my wife's pie pants.
His wife, Marianne, heard the noise and found her husband inventing a radio frequency generator using her pie pans.
I got up immediately and thought he'd lost it.
Here are the basics of John's idea. Radio waves will heat certain metals like gold. Tiny bits of that metal are injected into a cancer patient. Those nanoparticles are attracted to the abnormalities of the cancer cell and ignore the healthy cells. The patient is then exposed to radio waves, and only the bad cells heat up and die. Killing cancer cells is amazing, but John had also stumbled on yet another amazing breakthrough.
All right, pause it right there.
You have enough in there?
Pause it right
there. His machine could...
All right. Killing cancer cells is amazing. You think it's amazing? Should this not be all over the news? Shouldn't this be front page? Of course it's not going to be front page because they need depopulation programs. Cancer is a huge industry. G. Edward Griffin exposed that in A World Without Cancer. You know, I mean, this is literally a multi-billion, maybe even a trillion-dollar industry worldwide. So guess what? They're not going to cure cancer anytime soon. This guy did it in his garage. Let's see what else he can do, because that is amazing.
Salt water. John Kansas discovered that his radio frequency generator could release the oxygen and hydrogen from salt water and create an incredibly intense flame.
Just like that. If that was inside a car cylinder, you could see the amount of fire that would be in the cylinder. I can put my hand in here.
Put your hand into the beam, nothing happens. Put in a fluorescent bulb and it lights up immediately. At the APV company laboratory in Akron, top engineers have checked out John's amazing invention and they were amazed.
And we saw it go up to 1,500 degrees centigrade, the temperature. And it's incredible.
This simple Stirling engine is running with the heat generated by the flames coming off that test tube. The fuel, nothing more than salt water.
Oh, that could be a steam engine, a steam turbine. Could be a car engine if you wanted it to be.
That's the true American innovator. Someone that is not looking for something, he just finds it.
This is the most abundant element in the world, water. And salt water is everywhere. And to see it burn actually gives me chills.
So imagine the possibilities. Salt water as the ultimate clean fuel, a happy byproduct of one man searching for a cure for cancer. In Erie, Pennsylvania, Mike O'Mara, Channel 3 News.
The happy byproduct of a man searching for the cure for cancer. I mean, all right. Now, again, this makes the local news. You haven't seen it on any national news, have you? I wonder why. I mean, Ford made an entire car out of hemp. I think in the 30s. Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine. It's on YouTube. You can look at it. You know, God bless the internet. And that's why the elites are moving so quickly to try to bring in internet to an internet regulation. And they censor, you know, Alex Jones's videos. I've caught them censoring my videos time and time again. No, Fabled Enemies was number one on 9/11 and then just disappeared from the charts. If you ever go look it up, you know, in the top 100 or whatever, it's usually in the most shared or most viewed in the cached section. But it gets pulled down all the time. Why are they doing this? Well, they don't want this information to get out there. They don't want a revelation of the mind, really. They don't want people to figure it out that, you know, this system of Republican, Democrat is false. Liberal, conservative is false. And there's really, in my mind anyway, there's only good and evil. Everybody's, oh, there's shades of gray, Jason. Well, of course there's shades of gray. This is the real world. But unfortunately, I don't think there's shades of gray when it comes to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I think that they're there for a reason. If there is something that really needs to be changed in our society, it's supposed to be through a constitutional amendment. Instead, we have these executive orders and these national security policies that nobody gets to see except for the upper echelon of, you know, the elite who really determine what these policies are in secret meetings, you know, Bilderberg being one of them. Really, the way I look at it is that Bilderberg is a precursor to what they actually distribute to the larger, the outer ring. One of the inner rings would be the Bilderberg Group, about 144 members. And they bring a couple guests. They have Obama come in. They have Hillary come in. They discuss, you know, what's going to go on in domestic and foreign politics, really global politics on the whole, and what each person's role in that is going to be. Then a few months down the line, many of these people attend the Bohemian Club, the Bohemian Grove two-week get-together. Now, this gives them a little more time to make relationships and disperse the agenda to an outer rung of 3,000 members. And, of course, compartmentalize the information. They'll keep some of their information to themselves and tell them what they can tell other people. And then from that 3,000, after that two-week, you know, boys camp, what a sick word for that, they go and they disperse the agenda to their underlings. And that's how this works. You know, that's how this Leviathan stays active. You know, that's how the media is all reporting the same thing. I'm watching the election night and the MSNBC commercial with all the top anchors. It's MSNBC. Change is here. Like they're glomming on to the buzzwords that they made popular. In fact, Colbert is spot on. When he had Colbert had John King on the show last week. I think it was like on the 5th. And John King's a longtime CNN anchor. And well, you know what? Just play the clip. Let's play it up. Colbert makes a great satirical point of what's going on.
Congratulate you and the rest of the media on getting Obama elected. You must feel very proud.
If your point is that perhaps Barack Obama is in for a new world order, I think you are correct. But
are you going to go
easy
on him?
All right, let's cut it right there. Are you going to go easy on him? Of course you're going to go easy on him. Colbert is dead on. The media did get him elected, but really the powers that be got somebody who was a state senator in 2004, served one term in the U.S. Senate, and got him elected president. How did that happen? Come on. It wasn't an accident, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Forces Institute of Pathology. Pentagon Shanksville 9/11 records exempt from disclosure. Now, Aiden over at 9/11 Blogger really does a lot of FOIAs and should be commended for his work as a 9/11 truth researcher, among many others over there that do great stuff. But he puts in an FOIA, I think, every day. You know, he gets responses sometimes twice a week. And it's because of people like him. You know, eventually things will be declassified and a little bit more light will be shed on the subject. In fact, you know, we've talked about Biden a lot here. Biden, when talking to the student scholars for 9/11 Truth, he was asked about Abel Danger. Of course, Biden is very well aware of Abel Danger. He was one of the few people that attended the Abel Danger hearings. I think one of less than five people. Those hearings were, I believe, chaired by Arlen Specter. He headed them. And he knows all about this this international spy ring. He's probably a part of it. And he acts like the dumb guy. I believe there's one point where he's like, oh, I can't for the life of me figure out why we're gagging these guys. Why aren't we letting these guys talk? Oh, it's wild. I can't believe we would do this. Well, it's pretty evident. Why? I mean, he actually says to the student scholars that a lot will be coming out about 9/11. He thinks, oh, well, don't worry, a lot's going to be disclosed. So, you know, I think it'll be more LIHOP stuff, more limited hangout stuff, you know, more international connection stuff. You're going to see Pakistan probably demonized eventually. That's kind of the plan. They love to play buddies with the Middle East when it suits them. When it doesn't suit them, obviously, it's not the same deal. So these Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, Pentagon and Shanksville 9/11 records exempt from disclosure. And they give a number of reasons why. Oh, it's part of a criminal investigation. Really? A criminal investigation. So the latest guys they're blaming over at Gitmo with their military tribunal that nobody gets to see. People are crying foul. Where are these actual? Where's the trials and the evidence that the people get to see? It obviously wasn't the 9/11 Commission. In fact, I believe that Zelikow admitted that he had an outline for the entire report before the commission even started. Not that he didn't have time to write that cover-up since the commission didn't start until 400-plus days after the attacks. And then it was severely restricted ton of insiders put in there. So, you know, I commend people like Aiden. Without them, there would not be as much light shed on the subject. Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, Pentagon and Shanksville 9/11 records exempt from disclosure. Didn't they actually say that the Shanksville remains are over in Iron Mountain in an underground facility, along with all these other supposed treasures? I thought they were supposed to do an actual report on what happened there. That's what they do with every other plane crash. Weird. It's the Alex Jones Show. I want to encourage people to go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv right now and check out Fabled Enemies.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, it is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis sitting in. Thank you for joining us. Monday, the 12th of January, 2009. And I haven't wished everybody a Happy New Year yet, but I don't know if there's going to be much to be happy about. You know, we're a little over a week away from an inauguration of a new president, somebody who knew he was going to be president since May, by the way, somebody who had his transition team ready. And really, I mean, if you thought that John McCain was running a presidential race to win, come on, come on. It was staged worse than WWE wrestling. And I watched his, his I lost speech, and it was ridiculous. I mean, literally the night as the election was going on, you know, MSNBC had commercials with Obama's slogan in them. Everybody had the graphics they have of this guy. Obama is in the latest Spider-Man comic book as a superhero, really. He bumped, you know, it's not, he doesn't high-five Spider-Man, you know, he doesn't hug Spider-Man, you know, he bumps Spider-Man. He gives him the little, the pound. When was the last time an incoming president was on the cover of The Amazing Spider-Man? He's on the cover of Rolling Stone all over the place. They made a Rolling Stone commemorative issue. He's a rock star. The way that this guy has been pushed is, it's more than worrisome, in my opinion. You know, I didn't want to go Tarpley levels. You know, I still disagree with Tarpley on a few things here and there. But maybe he's right. I mean, this guy really does have a movement behind him. And again, a state senator, folks, is not, I mean, it's nothing to scoff at. There's a lot of state senators that do a lot of great work out there, but it's not like being a member of the House, in other words, a member of Congress. And it's not like being a U.S. senator. And in 2004, when he was just trying to get elected to an actual Senate seat, remember, there's only two senators per state, he gave the keynote speech at the Democratic National Convention. Now, obviously, they're hyping him up for something else if he's nothing more than a state senator with a possible shot at a Senate seat, and he's giving the keynote address in 2004. And the cult-like way that people are going, yes, we can. Yes, we can. I think to myself, we're in for some trouble. You know, yes, we can. I mean, South Park got it dead on. I was glad when Alex played those clips. But that's really how it is, this mentality that Obama is going to fix and save everything. I'm going to take your calls in the next segment. We're going to go to Sam, Gail, Matt, and more. And, well, you know, it's across the board, whatever you want to talk about. But really, I think people need to get prepped for this. I would say now is probably one of the best times to buy gold and silver, because if one of these, you know, this crisis is an economic one, you might want some hard currency. If it's really that disastrous, perhaps it'll just be the announcement of a bunch of banks going under. That could happen. I mean, they could take away your Social Security altogether. They could say banks are going under. They could say it's going to be a restructuring of the economy. You know, they're talking a lot about this quote unquote stimulus pack that Obama has. But when you give bankers a multi-trillion-dollar bailout in the guise of $700 billion. And, you know, people like Barney Frank, who's a total – He's a piece of work, Barney Frank. I don't even want to get into why I really don't like Mr. Frank from Massachusetts. Maybe some other time. But Barney Frank is out there acting like all they've given out is $350 billion. That's such a lie. I mean, we all know that that $350 billion is then made into an exponential amount of money, trillions, trillions, for them to buy up infrastructure, hide in foreign accounts, and further degradate the economy by printing a fiat currency. And we're going to be the ones left with the bag to hold, you know, without a home, without a job, without any food. It's really unfortunate it's gone to this. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, truthnews.us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It is the Alex Jones Show, and we're going to go to your calls in one moment. But before we go to your calls, I want to take this time to thank some of our great sponsors. And, you know, I'm in the new office. The new office looks great, by the way. I had been here when it was pretty empty, and now it's starting to fill up, and it's just great. One of the nice things is it has its own little kitchen, and that's where they put the Ecola Blue unit. And what is Ecola Blue? Well, it's probably the most delicious purified water I've ever drank, and the cool thing about it is that I don't have to put water into it for it to purify. It actually pulls water from the air. It makes, more water than you can drink. Sometimes you have to dump some of it out. We use it in the coffee pot. It makes great-tasting coffee. Ecola Blue's website is www.ecoloblue.com. That's ecolablue.com, and the phone number is 866-585-4044. It's an atmospheric water generator for your home. It pays for itself really within 1 year when you buy your water from the store, and I know that I buy my water from the store. I don't have one of these units yet, but I do have to get one. You know, I don't know why. I kind of wish Alex had it right in the office, because there are a couple in here, and I could just pull it off from the side. It's delicious. Pure clean water without fluoride, that's a big plus for me. Personally, I don't know about you, I don't like getting poisoned with my water. Know exactly what you're drinking. It's ecolablue.com. The number again, 866-585-4044. I'm actually drinking a coffee right now with Ecola Blue water, and it is delicious. All right, let's take our first caller of the day on the Alex Jones Show. Let's go to Vic in Michigan. Vic, what's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Oh, I just want to say, thank you very much to you and Alex for doing such a great job out there. I've been listening for maybe about 6 months, and I live here in Michigan, and I'm an automation engineer, and been watching things circle the drain out here for quite a while. And I was doing some research on some of the 9/11 on the towers on World Trade Center 1 and 2. And I was wondering, did you guys ever get Dr. Judy Wood on your show or talk to her at all about some of her?
Judy Wood just flew off the deep end, with her no planes theories. And, you know, there's some substantial stuff about the controlled demolition in the beginning. But when you start making analogies like the Keebler elves analogy and the billiard ball analogy, and if you've ever seen her speak, you know, it's very pseudoscience. You know, she says that planes can't hit the towers. A lot of disinfo in there. She came across as very valid in the beginning. A lot of these researchers do. And then they just kind of like fly off the handle. I think that Stephen Jones's research is really the most solid research out there. I know that she's discussed mini nukes. I really don't know if I see any evidence of that. I don't think that we have the proper samples of the air, really, off the bat to decide that. Obviously some of the cars that were burnt down the road, that's very suspicious. They probably used other incendiary devices other than thermite to actually cut the towers. But you got to remember, thermite does have some explosive properties. You know, they used to make thermite bombs and carpet bomb countries, you know, with that substance. So, you know, Judy Wood too much. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I watched couple hours of her interviews and stuff, and yeah, she does have some pretty hysterical things to say, but yeah, some of the important things that I just noted being an engineer is is especially the two pictures of the fire engines with the missing engines and melted on the front.
I listen, the intense heat that probably went down when the base of that building, basically, you know, that top-down demolition, the building literally disintegrating, and then with that cloud of smoke, you know, in a lot of the videos you can see kind of like a flash, if you will, at the end of it all. And again, you had molten metal underneath the towers, not only 1 and 2, but 7 and 6 and 5. So it does look like some other explosive agent was used there. I do thank you for the call, Vic. We're going to move to Sam in Missouri. Sam, what's on your mind?
Howdy. Hey, Jason. I just want to call and say that I don't know if everybody's seen this big health records deal with Obama when they digitized all the health records. It looks like that's pretty much New World scumcraft. And I also want to say that I don't think the economic crisis is going to be the big crisis is going to be economic because he says it's going to be international.
Mm-hmm.
Before you
make your next point, don't you think that an economic crisis in the United States, an admitted one, with the dollar still being basically, you know, the same currency, or not the same currency, the world currency, mostly the world reserve currency, that is going to affect the rest of the world. So an economic crisis here at home is going to affect, I mean, it's going to affect, you know, not only just North America, but it's going to affect Europe big time. And I can't imagine what's going to happen to the third world nations. Go ahead.
Well, that's actually true. I don't know. It's just, I keep thinking it's going to come something out of like Gaza, like American troops being used against the helpless Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The Middle East, right now, I believe there's a proposal out there for a bridge across the Jordan from Egypt into Iraq. Now, Egypt has been a longtime ally of the United States, but the condition is that Iraq must now support Israel. And since we're a military presence there, I don't think that Iraq is going to have much of a choice, and this is just going to be the next step in building the Eurasian Union that they've tried to build. You know, I mean, Saudi Arabia has been on board with the United States' interests for quite some time. Afghanistan has now been taken completely over, and Obama says that he is going to deploy more troops into Afghanistan. So you'll probably see a redistribution of troops from Iraq into Afghanistan. We're currently demonizing Pakistan. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You know, Biden is obviously on some kind of a cover-up diplomatic mission there. But it's all part of this game to centralize power in the Middle East. Thank you for the call, Sam. Let's go to Gail in Pennsylvania. Gail, what's on your what's on your mind?
Hey.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
Oh, I'm on. I thought I wasn't on.
No, you're on.
I just wanted to ask about the 9/11 thing. I watched all the movies and everything, and my dad, he's like 50, and I tried to tell him that they blew up and everything, and he still thinks they pancaked, and he hasn't seen like the footage like since
September
11th.
Where are you from, Gail?
I'm from PA.
Okay, so you're close enough to New York where it's kind of a traumatic event.
Yes.
I would say this. You know, it's different strokes for different folks. I would say try to get them to sit down and watch something like, you know, a 9/11 Press for Truth or a Fabled Enemies before you bring them into controlled demolition and what might have happened at the Pentagon. And if you can see corruption in the intelligence agencies, you know, like the FBI, the CIA, the ISI, the Israeli Mossad, and their involvement in 9/11, then maybe you can give him the next step and give him, you know, Alex Jones' Road to Tyranny or a Loose Change Final Cut.
Mm-hmm. They're all good.
Yeah, exactly. But get him with something that may not be a total – it might have been you know, a little light for you, but it'll be a slap in the face for him, and then he can look at this other information. I always say that you got to kind of read somebody's personality with the first information that you give them. You know, I always try to relate to somebody first and then give them something that is tailored to them so that you can get them to look at other information, because you might just turn them off with the wrong thing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I remember screenings of Loose Change Second Edition where we'd have a few hundred people in the audience and five or six of them would walk out by the time that the Pentagon segment had started because it was just too much for them. So, you know, you might have to be reserved in the start, but keep it up and you can really make a change. Thanks for the call, Gail. Let's go to Matt in Canada. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hi there, Jason. How are you doing this morning?
Good, man.
I was just wondering, did you have any specific suggestions or resources on how to quickly and effectively set up civilian intelligence gathering and spreading networks? I've got like a lot of the basic ideas down, like putting up posters, handing out movies and flyers,
mm-hmm.
But I was looking more on suggestions around the gathering side.
Well, you know, first of all, you got to have a place where you can gather, and you do want, you know, churches are usually pretty good because they're empty most of the week, you know, and somebody in your group might go to a church, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a religious event. Schools are another great place if you know somebody associated with a school, somebody who's a teacher in your community. That's another, you know, great resource. They can usually get open rooms there. Other than that, I mean, if you're trying to hold a screening and bring people in that way, I would say, you know, local theaters, the ones that usually show, you know, one or two movies and not, you know, like your mall type theaters, you can usually work something out with them on a weekday night. So, you know, you kind of have to be ingenuitive because you have to find a place that you can gather in all these with all these people. And then you have to present the information that so that people next time want to come back to that kind of a gathering. Did I help you with that one?
Yeah, definitely. But do you have any specific targets, like for people who you might look for towards in your community for information that you can gather from?
Well, for me, it's like this. I try to relate to people that, you know, I know that I'm going to be able to start a conversation with. You know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe a concert crowd. You know, when I was a kid, I liked to go to rock shows. You know, I often, when I do go to a rock show still today, I carry 50 DVDs with me. And inside them, there'll be a card with, like, Infowars.com and whatever on there. And I'll just talk to people. And usually people are coming from a wider area. So they didn't come for this, but they'll take that information. And hopefully maybe they'll give me an email and we can set something up in the future. You know, I've seen that it's only usually small groups that are going to remain active. A lot of people want to be part of something, but they don't want to put any work in. And that's why I think that the most effective so far has been WeAreChange.org. And I think we're having somebody from WeAreChange.org on today, I believe, from I think Matthew Medina. Yeah, he's San Antonio, and that's only an hour away. And what you're able to do is find 5 to 10 core group members with an outer ring of 20 or 30. And from these 5 to 10, like Luke Radowski, you're able to go confront you know, a politician or somebody in the media about an important issue, and you don't have to worry about getting all the camera work yourself. You can get two different angles with somebody else. You can get a couple questions in. So it's almost like guerrilla info warfare, in my opinion. You know, you got to understand that it's not going to – it's very hard to gather a lot of people at once and make something happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to keep working at it, and that's why – you know, We Are Change is a small organization. It hasn't been around that long. But it has expanded exponentially since it first started. I thank you for the call, Matt. We're going to keep taking your calls. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. Infowars.com and get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership to see all of Alex's documentaries right now.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our dear love.
It's the Alex Jones Show. And we are back. I am Jason Burmis sitting in for Alex Jones, taking a much-deserved vacation. But the news doesn't take a vacation. And every day, the world gets a little more complex and a little more compartmentalized. A little bit more under the grips of these tyrannical overlords. And if you don't see it, you're just blind to it all. I mean, you're too hooked in to the fact that the Giants lost this weekend. I'm sure a ton of my friends are irate about that. I can only imagine the fit they threw. You're too concerned about the bowl games that just happened. You're too concerned with your baubles, and that's why the news is now telling you, and it's your fault, by the way, the news is telling you, the economy's done. We're in the worst economic state since the Great Depression. We've had record layoffs in the last month, and that's just going to continue. And, you know, I watched Paulson say things like, even after the bailout, banks are going to go under. Maybe that's the next announcement. A bunch of banks are going to go under. And they're going to have to consolidate to get a new form of banking or a new super bank. But don't worry, you'll still be responsible for all your student loans and all your car loans and all your housing loans. And even if the economy does go under, you'll go to a debtor's prison and they'll give you some kind of a credit system, much like the carbon credit system they're working on for the environment, to punish you for how many cars you have and how much heat you use and how long you have your lights on. Just another way to tax and control you. And that's what I think we're going to see down the line. That's what's coming up. Awesome. All right, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to Ronnie in Texas. Ronnie, what's on your mind?
Thank you, Jason.
You got
it. I wanted to speak about Arlen, quote, miracle bullet, close quote, Spectre. And as you probably remember, hopefully, as a lowly mere district attorney in November 1963, Arlen, miracle bullet Spectre, dreamt up the key nugget of hogwash crucial to the ongoing cover-up of the JFK assassination. The term miracle bullet was referring to that miraculous bullet that supposedly blew through President Kennedy, midair changed directions, then entered the body of then-Governor John Connally and shattered a rib, lodged in his leg, and then somehow was found on a Parkland hospital gurney in perfect condition. That was so miraculous about it. And thereby supposedly being one of Oswald's only three bullets that killed JFK and wounded Connally, supposedly. Problem, of course, is that that bullet could not have done all that damage. I mean, it's not physiologically possible for that to occur. And then somehow turned up in perfect condition on that gurney. I mean, it's totally nonsensical. And briefly, years later, Arlen Miracle Bullet Specter was the one Republican senator who single-handedly, with his vote to acquit, prevented slick, truly evil Clint Trader from being convicted for treason in his impeachment trial. So, by the way, Specter's sister still lives in Israel, but for decades, Arlen Miracle Bullet Specter has been a key stooge in various crucial cover-ups of treason against the United States of America. And he is also the epitome of a rhino, a Republican in name only. And now, gosh, all the Republican senators, they're all rhinos pretty much, as the Republican parties meld together into one treasonous cabal.
He's been a pretty good front man for them, though. I mean, a lot of people think that guy commands respect, and, you know, he's actually, on a personal level, can be somewhat likable. I've seen him on Howard Stern. He was funny there. I even think that he said that there was a cover-up regarding some aspects of 9/11 when he did a... No, it was the... He wouldn't really talk about 9/11, but he said that... He alluded to the fact that the anthrax attacks were an inside job. You know, he is the epitome of one of those guys that gives you limited hangout, gives you a little bit to like, but in reality is the king of the cover-up. You know, again, he chaired those Able Danger hearings. You know, he was instrumental in shutting those guys up.
Exactly, and he's a key criminal. And, of course, like you said, he squeezes in a little bit of truth every now and then to get by, but he's so crucial to the JFK cover-up, which is not unrelated to the Clintonian cover-up, and, like I said, letting him off. You know, he was a traitor, and we almost had him, but there's that one Republican senator who prevented it all from happening, and, of course, it was Arlen Miracle Bullet Specter. So I couldn't help but try to squeeze in a word or two about him when I heard
him. I thank you for the call because, you know, they still are working on that JFK film. And, you know, now that you bring up JFK, there was some news last week that documents had been revealed that, of course, this mob boss is the one that has killed JFK. They try to spin it. But, of course, the mob boss couldn't have called off the Secret Service. Probably had a compartmentalized role in it. That's what the documents show. It's the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, that's enough out of you, David Bowie. We don't need any of that. No, thank you. Sha-la-la-la. All right, I want to let everybody know we're going to be going live on PrisonPlanet.tv in less than a half an hour. We're going to continue to take your calls. 2 o'clock, we're going to have Matthew Medina from We Are Change San Antonio, someone who is making a difference. Remember, you know, when I give you advice on how to organize or how to get something going, this stuff takes hard work. I've been at this now since 2002, you know, and I'm nothing special, but I've worked hard to put out a few films. I've worked hard on some other films. I've worked hard on my crappy radio voice. You know, I've, you know, worked hard in studying the information so I can give people decent advice. And we're going to go to your calls in a second, but I want to bring this other clip up. This is something CNN was playing last week. You know, again, I absolutely think that the mob had a role in the assassination, you know, compartmentalization. You know, it's that's how Jack Ruby was involved. But to say that this guy, this is the guy that killed Kennedy, give me a break. If this is the guy that killed Kennedy and he was anything less than a CIA asset the entire time, it would have been brought to light. He was involved, but really, come on, he is not the upper echelon. He can't get newspapers to print that Kennedy has been assassinated by Oswald before it happens. That's not in this man's power. All right, let's play the clip.
And after all these years, an author says he found a declassified document that shows Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone when he assassinated John F. Kennedy in 1963.
You have to conclude that there was a fourth shot and a second rifle.
Directors like Oliver Stone have produced movies about it.
I never met anybody named Oswald.
Authors have written hundreds of books on it. Now another new book, claiming government documents say a mafia crime boss confessed, yes, confessed, to ordering the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
These are not just casual remarks made by an aging godfather when he was in prison.
Lamar Waldron is co-author of Legacy of Secrecy. Waldron says Carlos Marcello ordered the assassination in retaliation for Kennedy cracking down on organized crime. And Waldron says a National Archive record proves his claim. Buried within millions of pages of files declassified by the FBI 10 years ago, he says are details of Marcello's alleged confession to an undercover informant in 1985.
It was one time when he just went off on a tirade against the Kennedys that he let slip to the FBI informant that I had the SOB killed. I'm glad I did it. You know, I'm sorry I couldn't have done it myself.
The official report on Kennedy's assassination, released in 1964 by the Warren Commission, found Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Three other government investigations have since concluded the same. Vincent Bugliosi has studied the Kennedy assassination. His book, Reclaiming History, also backs the commission's findings. As for Waldron's findings,
if I could categorize it in a couple words, sublime silliness. There's no merit to this.
Carlos Marcello was investigated in the 1970s by the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which found he did have, quote, the motive, means, and opportunity to have President John F. Kennedy assassinated, but concluded they could not establish direct evidence of his involvement.
Hundreds upon hundreds of people had motive, means, and opportunity. The seminal question is, did he do it? And that's where you have to come up with evidence.
But Waldron says the now declassified documents speak for themselves.
Well, as for Carlos Marcello, he died in 1993.
Let's pull it. Obviously, the guy's dead. He probably had a limited role in the assassination, but to say that this is the mastermind, no, this is a black government op. I encourage people to check out JFK 2, the Bush Connection, which is also available at prisonplanet.tv, and really see some of that in work. All right, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to Leo in Massachusetts. Leo, what's on your mind?
Hi, I was the that bearded guy who walked up to you and helped you out with your new studio and reminded me you to tell Alex something that I really feel. Did you get to hear that message?
I'm not quite sure if we're the... if
this is in New York at the 9/11 We Are Change movie on...
I don't remember, man. I meet so many people. I'm sorry if I didn't get the message there, but I mean, Rob was with me. I probably told him, you know, he's the editor on the films. What did I talk about today?
Anyway, is your studio finished?
Where, at home or here?
Yeah, at your home studio, yeah.
I still don't have a mixer yet, but I do have a board and I do have a big television, so we'll see what happens with that.
I spoke to Catherine Albrecht, and she said her operation takes about $5,000 worth of electronics. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, the board alone cost me over $2,200, and with a television set, that was another $1,100. So there's $3,000, and I don't even have a microphone and a mixer. So yeah, I'd say about $5,000.
So is your trip down there a twofer? Are you getting a little dental work too while you're at it?
I guess so, Leo. Is there something you want to talk about on, you know, on
Well,
subject?
Yeah, I think we really need to be hammering really hard on internet too, because that's the thing. They're going to try and kill us with this hate speech garbage. You know, truth is going to be called hate speech. And,
no, I agree. I think Internet 2 is a big problem. You know, I was actually discussing Internet 2 with Aaron and Rob and some of the guys in the office. And although I really think that internet too, obviously they're pushing for it. They really want to regulate the internet. But all this open source technology, I can only see the hackers going underground with their own hubs. And with satellite technology, I really don't believe they're going to be able to shut down an open source internet altogether. They could criminalize it, which is something I think that is definitely in the cards. But for instance, you can cut cables.
You can cut sea cables and mess things up.
You can cut cables, but if you do it through satellite technology or you do it through antenna technology, it's going to be a lot harder. And we're at the point now where, you know, hackers can do that. And number two, you know, Windows just put out a Windows 7 beta. It leaked on the internet like 2 weeks before they were going to put out the beta version. But the reason they do that is because the open source hackers go through, they find the bugs, they fix the bugs in their program, and they end up really writing a lot of the software. So Internet 2, for 95% of the population, yeah, there is not going to be an open source internet if they get it right. But there'll still be people who are tech savvy, able to put information up there. So hopefully we'll be able to tap into that. And hopefully we'll be able to warn people not to let them regulate the internet in the manner that they're doing so. You know, I was listening to a talk show yesterday, and they were talking about Max Hardcore. And I know we don't usually talk about porn on this show, but, you know, he is an internet pornographer, and he just got charged with obscenity. And apparently he's going to do 4 years in prison. And I'm not defending his stuff, but when you're going to put somebody in prison for 4 years for, you know, stuff that really is legal. I mean, it's not child pornography. Everybody's 18. Everybody's of consent. And you're going to call it obscene. What's the next thing they're going to call obscene? You know what I mean? It's not just going to be porn. It's
going to
be
possibly. Well, porno is going to be the excuse.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
But the thing is that I think the population at large, I call them the iPod people, I guess, they seemingly still haven't quite figured it out that they're going to get hammered with this. And
somehow, a lot of people have this hope. I mean, they've been – you know what it is? There's been a lot of programming, and I thank you for the call out there on television and in the radio. You know, change we can vote for, new hope in America, change we hope, change we hope, change we hope, change we hope. I mean, thousands of times in people's brains. So, you know, obviously they're punching into their iPhone and they're like, yeah, it's change we could vote for. We voted for it. Now there's hope for America. We're going to be number one again. And they're not in touch with any of the real crisis. You know, a lot of these, you know, younger kids never had a job. They've been living off their parents. You know, their parents have, unknowing to the kids, just taken into a huge amount of debt to buy their homes and their cars. And they've lived this, you know, haughty-taughty lifestyle where they've never, you know, wanted or needed anything. And that's about to change, and they have no idea. It's going to be such a shock to the reality. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Michael in Massachusetts. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, dude? How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I want to give a couple examples for the listeners on, you know, how to affect change in your community. But first, I just want to, you know, kind of tell everybody to kind of suck it up. Look at that kid, Wynick, or whatever his name is, mm-hmm. who has been, you know, changing his whole high school. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a youngster. If he can do it, I think a lot of other people can do it.
Right.
I had a couple examples. I work downtown. I work at the Trade Center. So I come in via the commuter rail, and you know, lately they've been having police officers, and it looks like a football outfit, you know, battle armor, machine guns, shotguns. And so, you know, I've just kind of sucked it up, started walking up to these guys and started, you know, talking about the facts. And believe it or not, a lot of these people will listen to you. As long as you speak, you know, intelligently, you can't be saying dude and swearing and whatnot. But, you know, you walk up and you say, look, you know, you guys are wearing black uniforms, you're carrying machine guns, you know, what do you think? And most of them will be like, well, you know, a lot of people want to be safe. And so what I do is I try to create kind of like a psychological connection with the person I'm speaking to. Here, a good example is this. Mm-hmm. You want to get these guys concerned. So you walk up to the guy and you say, oh, you know, my family is kind of worried about this. And then they'll go, okay, well, what's the problem? And then you say, it also has to do with your jurisdiction. Now you create this sort of like psychological connection, like, whoa, you know, what's this dude talking about? You know, nobody's, you know, going to be impeding on my jurisdiction. So you create that kind of like, you know, regimentation thing. And that's mm-hmm. when you lay it on him. You go, look, dude, the president on October 1st brought back, you know, the 3rd Infantry Brigade, and now they want to put him under NORTHCOM. NORTHCOM's not even, you know, an American military institution. It's a globalist, you know, North American Union type thing. And then they're like, well, you know, most cops will say, well, you know, the governor has to declare martial law. And that's when you laid this down on him. You go, no, dude, Presidential Directive 51, along with the Defense Authorization Act, says that the president can declare martial law independent of the other two branches of government. You know what I mean? And on the cover sheet of PDD 51, there are three examples given: environmental, you know, terrorism, and then the last one, economic collapse. Now, I'm telling you, I've done this a bunch of times. Each time I say that, you will see a jackbooted thug turn into a puddle of nothingness. These people hear that, and they're like, oh, my freaking God, I can't believe my ears.
Well, you got to realize that most of these guys are still human beings. They're still just collecting a paycheck, and, you know, there's
right?
Not everybody is a juiced-up maniac that's ready to shoot somebody in the subway after he's pinned on the ground begging for his life, although that did happen last week. And, again, they said, oh, the cameras malfunctioned. Don't worry, nothing happened. Well, people caught it with their cell phone cameras. And that's one thing I love is, like, we do have a shot. I keep telling people, carry cameras everywhere you go because you're never prepared for what's about to go down. You never know when something could be terribly amiss, especially in New York City. I mean, anything could happen at any moment.
Absolutely, Jason. Listen to this. Dude, I work at the Trade Center, right? And the mayor of Boston, Thomas Menino, was walking out because, you know, he was giving some sort of talk downstairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, oh, there's Menino. What do I do? Snap out of it. I ran up to him and said, hey, Mumbles, why are there police officers wearing black uniforms carrying machine guns at Sol Station? When are you going to speak up about the New World Order? You know, this, that, and the other thing. And you should have seen the look on his face. You know, here's a guy who's, you know, basically a gangster running one of the biggest cities in the country. And, you know, I'm a 24-year-old dude, you know, busting this guy's, you know what, you know, and, like, his whole crowd, like, gathered around him like a bunch of sheep. And they looked, dude, these guys are pathetic. They're a bunch of
crusty old men. Yeah, as soon as they're confronted, as soon as they're confronted with somebody who can, quote, unquote, see, and you confront them with that information, they turn into a puddle of mud. They start stammering.
I mean, we got one who can see, like that, that movie,
like,
right?
They Live, yeah. Well, not only that, but I mean, if you look at when Radowski, you know, in Fabled Enemies, gets Biden on Pakistan, he is shocked that he's even being asked this question. Then he stumbles on it. It happens all the time. It's like when I confronted the guys from Popular Mechanics in my debate. If you watch James Meggs, he can't get a sentence out without stammering
Jason,
and stuttering. Yes, go ahead.
Real quick, Amy Goodman.
Yes.
You met her.
Sure.
I'm sure you've talked to her. I used to like Democracy Now. What is with this woman?
All right. Thank you for the call. I'll get into Amy Goodman. And I won't even get into, like, Michael Moore. I've never met Michael Moore. But I'll give you my perspective on it. First of all, Amy Goodman. She was very quaint. She was nice. She didn't really talk to me that much, but her people did. And her people very much supported the 9/11 truth movement. A lot of people were fans of Loose Change. You know, they worked hard to set up this debate. Amy Goodman, I think, knows something's wrong, but she still wants to take the stance that will get her invited to events such as the ones that Michael Moore speaks at, such as the ones that Noam Chomsky speaks at, really leftist-type events. Now, I think to some extent she is hip to globalization. But she's probably one of these people that firmly believes in global warming and doesn't see the bigger picture. I think Michael Moore is, again, one of those guys. You know, he's trying to hold Obama's, you know, foot to the fire. You know, he didn't campaign much for Obama. But now he's trying to say, all right, you said you were going to do these things. Let's see you actually do them. But one of those things, you know, is about global climate change and all this nonsense. He still believes in false paradigms. And it's hard to shatter a lot of these false paradigms, especially when they've been ingrained in your brain for 15 or 20 years. So, you know, I think that she's a good, well-meaning person. I don't think she's who you want to go to for 9/11 truth or really a global perspective on things. She's good at exposing corruption. I hope that she exposes Democratic corruption as much as she does, as she did Republican. I mean, if she went after Pelosi a few times, we'll see where it goes. I mean, we'll only find out in the next month when Barack Obama's in office by his actions and by the media reporting on him. All right, let's go to Turbo in California. Turbo, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason Burmes. Yeah. May I preface my call by first saying that a reflection upon Russell Means that appeared on Alex Jones' show there a couple of days ago, about 3 or 4 days ago.
Sure, the Lakota tribe, and they were talking about setting up their own bank,
right,
and all that. Sure.
Now, if all the people within the voice of my listening, all the people listening Russell Means wrote a book. It is called Where White Men Fear to Tread, and that was never mentioned on the Alex Jones Show, but it's one of the best books I ever read. I was actually in prison in California when I read it.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give just a brief synopsis of this book?
Well, it's his autobiography, and it'll make you laugh. It'll make you laugh and cry tears because this man is a real American. But that's not the main reason why I called you.
Okay.
I thought Alex gave Russell Means a short shift there. You know, he had him on for about 27 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You want an hour with Russell Means,
me. But actually, that's not why I called it, because I'm 100%, man. Dude, I back you 100%.
Okay.
And I back Alex Jones, and I back Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, man. I back the Infowars, but the main reason why I called is to tell you this, man. It's like not everything is lost here in America,
mm-hmm.
because we are living in the moment, mm-hmm. right? Can you mm-hmm. concur that with me?
No, I don't think everything is lost. I think that we still have better qualities than 90% of the nations out there, and I think that change can occur, but it's going to take, from the bottom up. It's going to take us waking up to the fact that Democrats and Republicans don't have our best interests at heart. I thank you for the call, Turbo. We're going to take more calls on the other side. It's the Alex Jones Show. Remember, PrisonPlanet.tv, 10 minutes away.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
All right, folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. And we're going to keep on keeping on with your calls in just a moment. But before that, I want to thank another one of our great sponsors out there, eFoods Direct. Okay, so we don't have to remind you that you need food to survive. Our biggest sponsor, eFoods Direct, is the longest continually operating storable foods company in the country. They also happen to be true patriots and have supported the freedom movement for years and years. With the looming food shortages and current economy, it is imperative that you make sure that your family are prepared with non-GMO food, good, clean, and storable. And again, I don't know what this crisis is going to be, if there's going to be a crisis. I know a lot of people are calling for it. Madeleine Albright, we should play that clip too. We'll play that when we go to PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll play some of these other clips. We're going to play the glowing pigs clips because, you know, we're manufacturing glowing pigs now for some reason. But it doesn't hurt to have food. In fact, it can only help. We encourage you to go to eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com right now, or call the toll-free 1-800 number. That is 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633. Man, I hope it doesn't come down to that, but it doesn't hurt to have food. You know what? And if you have food and nothing happens, you know, it's good to have. You have a bowl of soup. Make some pasta. That's what it's there for. It's an insurance policy. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Kurt in Pennsylvania. Kurt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Very good. I'm calling to share two concepts with yourself and your listeners. One is we need to become alternative force commanders, which instead of waiting for a hierarchy to arrive to help us get things done, we all take the responsibility and make a New Year's resolution to paint some signs. You know, it could be 9/11 truth. It could be about many different issues, and go down to their courthouse square or wherever, which is a specific free speech zone, and stand there and talk to people, learn to defend your ideas, and get some street activism, you know, flex your citizenship muscle. And I also wanted to share our website. I'm with the Common Sense Revival, mm-hmm. which is trying to get a renaissance of citizenship. Our website is http://commonsenserevival.tripod.com.
Mm-hmm.
What we're using is two ideas, critical thinking, which, you know, we're being stampeded with propaganda. We need to be able to weed through that, and our school systems are like brainwash factories. So critical thinking is the first part, which usually makes you depressed. So then you go to positive psychology, which helps you, you know, keep going as an activist, because intellectually absorbing so much sadness and disturbing information.
When you do take in this information, and I thank you for the call, you can get a little bit down. I remember when I first discovered, you know, that there was something terribly wrong with 9/11, I lost a lot of sleep, woke up in cold sweats at night, and it was disturbing. But at the same time, we're adults. We're not children. We don't need to be protected from the truth. In fact, we need to confront the truth, no matter how disturbing, so that we can change it into a more positive, you know, way of living. If you don't confront the truth, if you call up in a ball, you just basically allow it to get worse and worse and worse. And we've seen it get out of control in so many other countries and cultures, to a point that it's really never gotten out of control within this one. But that could be coming. And that is a scary, scary, scary thing. And I hope it doesn't come. We're going to go to Christina and David Moore. We're going to be on PrisonPlanet.tv on the other side. So we encourage you to tune in now. Infowars.com, TruthNews.us. I'm Jason Burma, subbing for Alex Jones. We'll be back after the break.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the third hour of this global transmission, January 12th, 2009. I am Jason Burmes, subbing in for you here at PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, and on all of our AM and FM affiliates. I want to play this clip. We haven't played this one. We discussed the Colin Powell warning, but I also want to show that not only Joe Biden, Colin Powell, but Madeleine Albright also said that Obama would be under a crisis in the first couple of months of his presidency. So what is this crisis? Let's go to the video. Let's go to Albright.
Well, I want to ask you what you thought of what Joe Biden said yesterday in terms of this idea that now Senator Obama, if he becomes president, would be tested by an international crisis within the first 6 months. John McCain certainly picked up on that. Let's listen to what he said yesterday.
Okay.
If Senator Obama is elected, Senator Biden said, we will have an international crisis to test America's new president. We don't want a president who invites testing from the world at a time when our economy is in crisis and Americans are already fighting in two wars.
Oh, no question there what Senator McCain thought about this, Thomas. What did you think about what
Senator
Biden
said? Well, I think it's just a statement of fact, frankly. And in my book, I talk about the fact that there are a lot of big issues out there, but that also something unexpected. You always have to be prepared for that.
A statement of fact. What do these people know that we don't know? These are insiders, folks. Let's bring up the Powell clip as well. You know, I want to play that Powell clip one more time. I mean, the way that Powell actually says this, and let's cut it off before it goes all blue or whatever. The way that Powell actually says this, it is extremely frightening. I mean, I don't know why we're not more alarmed about this. I don't know why it hasn't been talked about. A few people have really picked up on it, but now we're a little over a week away from the inauguration. We're really only a little over a week from this information, if it's true, if there's really going to be a crisis. So let's play Powell saying it up.
Start with talking to the American people and talking to the world and conveying a new image of American leadership, a new image of America's role in the world. The problems will always be there, and there's going to be a crisis come along on the 21st or 22nd of January that we don't even know about right now.
How do we not know about it? How does he know about it and we don't? All right, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to Christina in Maryland. Christina, what's on your mind? Christina, you there?
I just wanted to make a comment about yesterday's recording. You said that Minister Louis Farrakhan made a comment that he believed that Obama was the Messiah, and that statement is not true.
All right, we're going to pull the clip because you did call yesterday, and I believe his exact words is the youth listen when the Messiah speaks, and the Messiah is speaking. And I am almost 100% sure that he is referring to Obama. We're going to play the clip. We're going to put the controversy to rest, Christina. It'll come up in the next segment. I thank you for the call. Let's move on to Dave in California. You got to understand, folks, you know, he's not the only one calling Obama the Messiah. Just type in Obama Messiah, and there's plenty of mainstream articles out there in places like the Huffington Post, left-wing publications, where, where again, they're saying he's the one. He's the one that's going to lead us out. He's on the cover of every magazine. He's on the cover of The Amazing Spider-Man. We're going to pull that picture up in a moment, too. All right, play Farrakhan saying it, and then we'll take Dave in California.
That God is going to use to bring about universal change. And that is why Barack has captured the youth. And he has involved young people in a political process that they didn't care anything about. That's a sign. When the Messiah speaks, the youth will hear.
When the Messiah speaks, it's InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we're back, and we're going to play that Louis Farrakhan calling Obama the Messiah clip one more time. And let's say he's not referring to Obama as the Messiah. He's saying that the Messiah is ordaining Obama, which is, I would say, just as bad, if not worse. So you decide. Here it is. Farrakhan, Obama, Messiah. Let's play the clip.
Instruments that God is going to use to bring about universal change. And that is why Barack has captured the youth. And he has involved young people in a political process that they didn't care anything about. That's a sign. When the Messiah speaks, the youth will hear. And the Messiah is absolutely speaking.
So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to disagree, Christina. There's a couple other clips on there. We'll see if he said it on numerous occasions. If you guys could pull up the Barack Obama Amazing Spider-Man cover, I'm going to want to show that in a moment. But first, let's go to more phone calls. Let's take Dave in California. Dave, what's on your mind?
I don't see how you can really interpret that any other way, frankly.
You know what? I got to tell you, I talked to her on the show yesterday. I am a fan of how, first of all, Nation of Islam Muslims know about government corruption. A lot of them are in the know. They know that there's something wrong with both political parties. However, and Farrakhan is able to mobilize a lot of people, the man behind the Million Man March, the Millions More March, which is a positive thing. But when he gets up there and he backs a candidate who is a globalist candidate, somebody who is promoting this one world order, you know, global citizenship and the like, he's not going to get us out of the war. He's just a slick package. I think that's a huge problem, and I think it's a bigger problem when this religious figure refers to him as the Messiah. Go ahead, Dave.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And he talks about universal change. That bothers me a little bit. That sounds like code for New World Order stuff to me.
Mm-hmm. And it's upsetting. You know, Farrakhan, again, he's done some decent things. He's not in the top list of my demons, but again, he has a lot of people under his wing. You know, there are a lot of, you know, Nation of Islam Muslims, or bow tie Muslims, as I like to call them, and he has a huge sway over them. So, you know, this is religion in so many cases is used to really block people's vision and coordinate them on agendas that really have nothing to do with the religion at all, and that's what worries me.
Okay, well, I got two fast things for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, Fabled Enemies rocks, man.
Oh, thank you.
Big time props for that. Anybody that can watch Barry Jennings talking about the giant explosions going off in number 7 while the towers are still standing, how the lobby was annihilated, and then claim that the official story is anything but garbage is just wasting your time. And, you know, it's a good way to sort out the morons out there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I have a suggestion for those folks, you know, who like me and probably you and everybody else in this in the truth movement are just getting fed up. Who want to viciously attack the evil leaders with truth, but without violence. And I suggest that we consider attacking their symbols of power and their fake honor, because they set great stock in the adulation of the public and their magical fake power. Attacking,
you know what,
their
that's interesting, because, you know, this didn't get reported on most of the alternative news networks, but the Georgia Guidestones were pretty defaced, and somebody had went to the Georgia Guidestones. They had spray-painted 9/11 was an inside job, F your New World Order. I think Infowars.com was spray-painted on there. Look, I'm not saying – you haven't seen this yet?
No, but
it's pretty wild.
I have it. There was a guy – I did see something about a guy standing out in front of it with some signs.
No. This guy, just type in Georgia Guidestones defaced, and this happened 1 or 2 weeks ago. And you know, it's funny that you talked about that. Hey, I'm not telling people to break the law, but you know, there's an all-seeing eye right under the World Trade Center. Anybody who's visited the New York subway station, in the subway station, you know, we're going to pull a picture of that up too. I'll pull them up during the break, and we'll have them for the next segment. But first of all, when you get off at the World Trade Center stop, there's a bunch of just eyes all over the place, these little mosaic eye tiles, right? So then when you go up the stairs and come out of the port right there by the World Trade Center, there's just this little, it's like a lower fenced off area, and there's another mosaic, and it's a mosaic of the entire world. And in the middle of the world is a pulsating, all-seeing eye that pulsates through the entire world. And it is just sick to me that they do throw up their gang logos at the scenes of their crimes all the time. So again, I'm not encouraging people to break the law, but big ups to the guy who did that at the Georgia Guidestones. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let's take another call. Let's go to Rick in Texas. Rick, what's on your mind?
Jason, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'll be real quick. Just a couple things. I've been a listener, and I was my eyes were opened in the early 90s during the Clinton administration, of course, Oklahoma City happened, and I knew that everything that I felt instinctively was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm originally from Houston, and I moved out here to Alpine, Texas. I don't know if you know where Alpine is.
No, I don't.
It's about 90 miles from the Presidio border. It's Fort Stockton, about 75 miles south of Midland, Odessa.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on the map, I'm down there in the corner from the panhandle, the very most southern part of the state for the most part. But a couple things is looking at Google Map and pulling up the FEMA concentration camps around the United States. There's a mm-hmm. plethora of them, but there's none in my area. And it is kind of confusing because we actually have the highest law enforcement per capita than anybody in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We have U.S. Marshals, the Border Patrol is huge. Sheriff's Department and Homeland Security Office here as well. And I'm watching a huge influx daily. I have an office here right off the highway, and I see more and more and more Border Patrol trucks, vehicles, and agents traveling to work every day. Every day that I see is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you had an insight on why this particular area. It's also obviously also the entrance port called La Entrada to the Trans-Texas Corridor.
Well,
coming out of Mexico.
They just said that they killed the Trans-Texas Corridor, and all they're going to do is rename it. You know, it's not going anywhere.
Right, that's exactly what Alex had said, is that it makes it more difficult to challenge it if it's against multiple entities versus one.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And there is a video online called the Truth Be Told, told being spelled T-O-L-L-E-D, which is a great video for people who have no idea what the ultimate purpose of the Trans-Texas Corridor is. But I moved out here because it's the last slice of America, truly.
Well,
it really
I don't know
is.
If it's the last
I
slice
tell
of
my
America.
Family I can ride my bicycle to the movie theater and leave it unlocked, go inside and watch a movie and come back and it's still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know what, though? That's in a lot of places. Like where I am in upstate New York, you know, crime isn't that bad. There's places in Vermont. There's places in Pennsylvania. There's places in Connecticut. There's even places in California. And, you know, but one of the scary things is that not so far away from where I grew up, which is only about an hour from where I live. There's a huge FEMA camp outside of Fonda, and I mean, it's crazy. They have the little portable coffins, and it is more than unnerving. But, you know, we just got to keep exposing that. We got to keep exposing when they run anti-terror drills. We have to keep exposing when they try to pass anti-gun legislation. We have to keep exposing everything. You know, that's why there's great organizations out there. You know, I love 9/11 Blogger. We can't do it all here at Infowars.com. You know, I like some of the stuff that GNN does, Guerrilla News Network. You know, even some of the stuff that Huffington Post and Raw Story put out there, at least they're getting people to think and get them to be somewhat aware. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Tony in Illinois. Tony, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Jason?
Not much, just trying to fight the New World Order, my man.
I hear you. Same thing. I'm here in the big, beautiful Chicago prison grid. It's wonderful here. I don't know how much time you spend here in Chicago, but I know if you spend any time, you know it's fairly multicultural and predominantly it's predominantly black. Mm-hmm. Since the election of Barack Obama, now the workplace, I got to tell you about this because this is insanity. The workplace I work in is 80%. It's an 80% black environment. Mm-hmm. I don't care about any of that. That doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me though is that people want to talk about the world situation, and heaven forbid, the look of horror on their faces, not just from, you know, supporters, but from people who you know are not for this guy and are looking at you like, oh my God, you're there talking about him in public. It's frightening. It really is. I'm starting to really feel like Winston Smith out here. You know, I don't know about you, but
well, you know what's really Orwellian for me, you know, besides the comic book thing, and let's throw the comic book there. There's a good picture of his smile up there. I wish it didn't zoomed out just a little bit. But, you know, he's on the cover of The Amazing Spider-Man. He's hip. He's going to bump him. But when I go into the malls and usually go to Albany for my mall, it's, you know, the capital of New York. I mean, it is just littered with Obama wear. You know, I mean, literally, like, it's hip now. He's like a symbol like Martin Luther King Jr. I got news for you folks. He's got a long way to go before he can even be considered to be in the same room as Martin Luther King Jr. Yes. I
understand. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
And Jason, let me tell you about something I saw today, just on the news today with Pepsi. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but Pepsi's got a new ad campaign going on where they have replaced the Pepsi logo, the red, white, and blue with the red and blue with the white ribbon across, and shifted it to where it looks almost exactly like the Obama, you know, another all-seeing eye symbol. And it's all about basically Obama worship being linked to product choice, and
Well, that's what I was describing earlier. Oh wow, look at that! it's exactly again change, hope, we change, hope, we. That's what the predictive programming has been. That's the new commercials everywhere. I mean, there it is right there. Bring it up. There it is. It is almost exactly like the new Obama logo. How about that? Weird. It's a coincidence, right? It's all just a dream. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex Jones. We'll be back after this. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. And before we keep taking your calls, remember we're going to have Matthew Medina from We Are Change San Antonio on at the top of the hour. I want to shift gears a little bit. You know, wide open phones, whatever you want to talk about. We've been talking a lot of Obama and Biden today, a little bit of Pakistan. But we also touched upon these genetically modified pigs. And why this is important is because it's now growing outside of just lab stuff. And what do I mean by lab stuff? Well, they create this stuff, it's fancy, but we're not going to breed them or anything, are we? Well, yeah, we just created a new type of pig. They're breeding. Two of the nine piglets glow in the dark, folks. And we're now creating species on this earth. That is incredible. It's almost godlike, and I'm sure that the scientists that are doing this are not only thinking that, but it's I guess it's one thing to do this in a back lab or to show something on display. It's another thing to start creating genetic organisms, you know, even more so than, you know, just plant life, I guess, and creating these animals. I mean, what is next? So let's go to the glowing piglets. That's what we want to see.
Genes were altered to make it glow fluorescent green, has given birth to a pair of fluorescent piglets. Thank goodness we finally reached that scientific milestone. Mama pig gave birth to a litter of 11 in China over the weekend, and two of its babies came out glowing. Scientists say the piglet's birth proves that genetically modified pigs can pass on their engineered traits to their young. Researchers now want to see if they can grow human organs in pigs to use in transplants. For MSNBC.com, I'm Willie Geist.
And you notice how he threw in that they now want to see whether or not they can grow human organs inside of them. No, they were doing that in 2002, okay? And of the 11 pigs, two of them came out with the genes. Well, the other nine still carry the traits, so when they have piglets, some of their piglets will more than likely also glow in the dark. We've changed the structure of pigs forever. Eventually, these will interbreed into the rest of the population. I mean, oh, man. It is wild what man has really done. It's unbelievable. All right, let's go to Mark in Oregon. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good.
Jason, you know, I'd spoken with you about 6 months ago, and by the way, it's great to hear you on the airways again and to see Alex get such a well over-deserved vacation there.
Oh, thank you.
And I brought up the film by Eric Huffschmidt. You know how to spell that. It's Huffschmidt, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Are you talking about Painful Deceptions?
Right. And okay. I think it's Painful Questions.
Okay. The Deceptions is the book. Sure.
Yeah. Painful Questions is the video. Excuse me. And that's what I'm referring to here. You get up in that video somewhere in the body of it, more or less halfway through it or so.
Mm-hmm.
And a frame comes up that shows a still photograph of a Global Hawk missile parked on a runway. And
okay.
The very next frame is it's the only one I've ever seen, and there may be others. I haven't seen a whole lot of videos, but it's the very next frame that follows the photograph of the Global Hawk missile, which, of course, as you're aware of, looks like a small airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the inside of the hole that was made in the Pentagon by whatever hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's widely speculated that a Global Hawk missile was involved there.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually puts some lights inside the hole. There's someone shining some lights into the hole so that you can actually see pretty well what's inside of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look off to the right-hand side inside the hole here, you see an inflated tire with the wheel still. It's still, of course, you know, has the wheel within it.
Yeah, I think I've seen
and
that.
And you compare that tire, that wheel actually, because it's a very specialized aerodynamically designed wheel, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You compare that with the actual picture of the wheel of the Global Hawk missile in the frame immediately preceding that, and they are identical. And it's a very small tire. It would not even be used on a 727
or 747. Well, I would say this. You know, take a screenshot, send us the info. I may have seen the thing before, but send it over to Aaron at InfoWars.com.
I'll have to
let
you look it up because I'm not on the Internet, okay? Or some of the listeners. But anyway, if you can spell it out for people and give the right name of the video for people,
sure,
they'll send it to you.
Sure, you got it. It's Painful Deceptions. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Kyle in Alabama. Kyle, what's on your mind? Oh, no, Kyle hung up. I'm sorry. Let's go Mr. X in Texas. I love these fake names. What did I have yesterday? I had Captain Kook, Mr. X. We had Turbo today. Really? Is it so hard to say, hey, my name's Mark? All right. We're going to take that call. We're going to take Mr. X and others on the other side. It's the Alex Jones Show. Remember, you can tune in live right now at prisonplanet.tv. Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes. We're taking your calls. We're going to have Matthew Medina from We Are Change San Antonio up in a little under a half an hour. This is the long segment. We just played you glowing pig clips. That's right. We've changed the genetic structure of pigs to make them glow, and it'll probably infiltrate the entire species, and we'll have all sorts of nice little goodies. And then they say, oh, but it's for research so that we can grow human organs in them, and we'll have organ transplants for everybody. Be nice if it was true, but they've been doing that since 2002. You don't think that they've somewhat, I mean, they may not have perfected it, but made it good enough so that they could actually do that? Listen, if it ever does come along, it's going to cost so much money and really only be for probably upper to middle class to lower level elites. It's not for you and I. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, we are the surf class. You know what's for you and I? Diet Pepsi with Obama logos on them, apparently. And we showed that earlier. I can't believe it, but they did just change their little logo to something that looks a lot, not exactly like the little Obama O, but for some reason they did put it in a circle. It looks a lot similar. God knows. All right, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to Mr. X in Texas.
Hello, Jason.
How you doing, man?
Hello. The reason why I'm not giving my real name is because I am a, or I've been used by the CIA as an operative. I want to first talk about, I first want to say that I would not discuss this if I was not given clearance to discuss it. Make of that what you will. As you might recall, being a journalist, in August of 06, we started hearing about liquid explosives being smuggled onto airplanes.
Okay. And that's a couple years back, the liquid explosives plot, which was led back to really ties to the ISI.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Bush, our president, got on the air and said a terrorist plot was foiled by a CIA operative codenamed Mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
This was me. I went to Spain in August of 08,
mm-hmm.
and at the time I was not, I was being watched by the Central Intelligence Agency, or the intelligence community. To stick a label on the CIA literally limits it. You really need to say it's the intelligence community.
Okay.
And while there, I was in the internet cafe, and the computer activated. A screen popped up. It was from the CIA, and I began to be asked all these questions. I answered all the questions, and at the end, I was given the designation Mastermind. And then on the trip back, there was an attempt to put the liquid explosives by the CIA into my bags to have me be a patsy or fallout guy for this terrorist agenda that they were trying to push.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, man, I got to tell you, I mean, we're live radio. Your story sounds interesting. Obviously, I can't confirm it over the air. Please send us some information. That doesn't mean you have to send us your name. Set up a bogus email account. Send it from a coffee shop. If this is legitimate, give us something that, you know, we can confirm any of this. And I'm sure Alex will have you on for a full hour to discuss it. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Derek in Texas. Folks, when you get calls like that, you know, it's like, first of all, this isn't the coast to coast, and I like George Norrie and everything like that. But, you know, there are plenty of people that like to just call up and say whatever. That guy sounded awfully young to be a CIA agent. He sounded younger than I am. Now, does that mean it's not possible? No. But I'm not going to throw my weight behind it. Someone just called in with some information. So I've got to move on. Like I said, I hope you send us some information. If it turns out to be true, I'm sure Alex will have you on as a guest. All right, let's go to Derek in Texas. Derek, what's on your mind?
Jason, I was an undergrad in mechanical engineering when 9/11 happened, mm-hmm. and I was being taught by a structural engineer who was teaching us the finite element method at UTA, and he was the first person to wake me up. Although it didn't fully wake me up, his comment to us was, those buildings fell way too fast, they fell wrong, everything's wrong with this. But we assumed our government would never, ever do something like this, even though I saw stuff that, you know, probably shouldn't go on in the military while I served, and I'm sure other veterans can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, years later, I am still asking, where are the contract plans? That is, the building construction design, architectural drawings, mechanical drawings, otherwise known as the contract documents.
I've got the blueprints. Gates? I've got them.
Okay, but, now, yeah. Are these the South Tower ones that
South
were given
and North
Stephen
Tower.
Jones?
Yes, yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
okay, where's the public place? Because what needs to happen here is both undergraduate and graduate engineers and lay people and whoever that know how to run finite element software can recreate this entire building using 3D CAD software and then run simulations.
Well, I hope that you do that. I think you can get them off of you just type in – you go to Jones's website and you look for like the PDF archives. I know that's the format they're in is PDF, and they're pretty high res, so you should probably be able to input them into a CAD program rather easily and with the right labels, like you said, construct a 3D model. I'm all for it. I mean, I don't know if they reported it on this show, but supposedly, and this is a big supposedly, MythBusters is finally going to do – there was a press release a few months ago, a show on 9/11 Truth. And that they're going to actually build the World Trade Center to one-third scale. They got a $20 million budget for the show. It cost $7.2 million to build these things. And they're going to fly remote-controlled Boeings at one-third the size into the buildings and see what happens. I'm anxious to see it. They're also, from the press release, they're anticipating that it will be the largest watched television program in the history of the United States outside of sporting events, a.k.a. the Super Bowl or the World Series. So, of course, I encourage all you independent researchers out there, all you engineers, to check it out. I'm pretty sure that they're widely available in PDF format. If you know who to ask, Stephen Jones will get back to you. Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth will get back for you. Get back to you with the files. I thank you for the call, Derek. You can never have enough independent research, folks. You know, there's nothing wrong with testing some of the scientific theories that the government has put out there, since none of them actually live up to scrutiny, and they constantly change. Well, you know what? I think that they pancaked. What happened was a sagging started to occur. There was 1,500-degree temperatures when we know there weren't 1,500-degree temperatures in there. And it started to sag, and then just one after another, pancake-a-roo, but then there were no pancakes. And then they said, well, what really happened is, you know, it just couldn't stand the stress, and they didn't actually have to melt, or they just collapsed on top of themselves. Global collapse. Well, you know, I'm nowhere near the expert someone like Kevin Ryan of Underwriters Laboratory is, who's done numerous papers on it. So I encourage people to go check that out. You know, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth have really been on the front lines the past few years, and I commend Richard Gage and others for what they've done. All right, let's go to Mark in Canada. Mark, what's on your mind?
How you doing, Jason?
Good,
great
man.
Show today.
I'm
calling from Ottawa. I just wanted to let people know that we were out in force yesterday for our 11th of every month Truth Action for 9/11 Truth.
And truthaction.org, another great organization.
Yeah, I just actually donated $100 to truthaction.org today. I didn't have it, but I did it, you know, because this was our 21st Truth Action. We've been doing it for 21 months. And we actually walked around downtown Ottawa today, yesterday, hit our four main spots that we've done over the last year. Mm-hmm. And did like a little recap, so there's going to be a video coming out pretty soon. Amazing time, beautiful weather. We gave out 400 DVDs with five movies on each DVD, and that's what we're doing. We're still. I also want to mention that here in Canada, we were able to, the 9/11 Truthers in Ottawa, we were able to actually form an electoral district for the Canadian Action Party here. So I'd like to, we have an actual political party that supports 9/11 Truth. So I'd like to encourage the other Canadian 9/11 Truth groups to form electoral districts in their area. So,
and that's great, man. That's how we can get involved. See, there's an organization that's been around now for just a little bit under 2 years, and they keep expanding and they keep reinvesting in that organization. They realize that things aren't going to just come overnight. I thank you for the call. I mean, again, I see 9/11 Truth in the public eye. Again, limited hangout. More documents will be exposed over the next 2 years. But really, it won't come into, you know, the level that it did in the 5th anniversary until the 10th anniversary. And that's just because of our subliminal programming, where we are accustomed to 5s, 10s, 20s, 25s, 50th anniversary. The 10th anniversary is going to be the biggest moment for 9/11 Truth yet, if we still have a country left. Internationally, it is sure to be the biggest moment for 9/11 Truth, no matter what. But in this country, I guarantee it'll be the largest it's ever been, if we still have a country left in 2011. I'm hoping we have a country left. I don't know. What do you think, Jaron? We gonna have a country left? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe we'll just all have Pepsi with Obama symbols. All right, let's jump to another caller. Let's actually bring it up. Bring it up. There's the full screen cover of the whole shot of the Amazing Spider-Man with Obama on it. So you don't get to see, you got to see Spidey and a smiling Obama, but not only do you get to see that, he's got the thumbs up. Obama's tops. Yeah. I'm number one president. I'm on the cover of Rolling Stone and Spider-Man, and everybody loves me. Oprah loves me. Look at me. I'm going to save the world. The first global president, I think, is another term that they've used for him. Really? So a state senator with one term in the Senate and then automatically boosted to president. He's the global leader. The guy's not even 50. I mean, I don't claim to have all the knowledge in the world. I'm not the wisest guy around, but I think I'm hip enough to know that this guy, Inauguration Day, The Amazing Spider-Man, number 583. Maybe they'll have like a number 600 issue 17 months down the line, and another Obama commemorative. We'll have like the foil and the rubies on it, and you know, he can wear like a diamond hat. All right, I'm getting ridiculous. All right, let's go to another caller. Let's go to Joe in Illinois. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Good.
Got
man.
A quick
just
question.
To fight it up. Sure.
Yeah, just got a quick question for you. I know you probably have mentioned this, and I'm sure it's out there, but I really haven't heard anything about it lately. Barry Jennings,
sure.
Was it ever brought out, like, what the nature of his death was?
All right, yes. I'm glad you asked that question.
Really want to know.
All right. Just to review what happened there. At the end of August, there were some emails circulating around. We were getting emails that Barry Jennings had died. Now, I went to try to confirm this. I talked to Dylan. He got in touch with Mike Rudin of the BBC, who filmed him for that hit piece. Mike Rudin said, oh, I'm going to find out. Don't worry. There's nothing going on. Then on September 11th, we got out there. Rudin still said that, you know, everything was fine with Barry. He hadn't been able to get in touch with him, but he wasn't able to confirm his death. Well, we were able to confirm his death. We were able to get that same source to give us the information. And later on, the original source did contact us, I think, a few months ago. And I don't want to give away who the original source is, but he says that Barry died of leukemia, which is very possible. And, whether or not this is something that he was given, maybe this is something he got sick with from being on the site of the World Trade Center. We all know, you know, excessive levels of chromium, barium, all these other toxic heavy metals may have done it. But the official cause of death, as far as anybody knows, is he died from leukemia. You know, he didn't hang himself. It wasn't a suicide. And, I wanted to put that out there because the person who did tell us that, you know, they talked about the truth movement being, you know, about the truth. And to me, it is about the truth. You know, I can't tell you what happened to that man. I can tell you he died under suspicious circumstances. And to the best of my knowledge, it was from leukemia.
Yeah, the only – that's really interesting. I didn't know it was leukemia. I mean, I actually come from the medical field, and usually leukemia is a very long, drawn-out process before death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I find that kind of interesting, depending on what kind of a leukemia it is, but, you know, compared to, like, the one that this Russian KGB agent that just got, you know.
Yeah, he got sick suddenly and died.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then from what I understand, that's pretty much how he went. There was not a lot of warning. It wasn't something that he had battled with from a long time. I mean, I had really only done that interview with him a little over a year earlier. You know, okay. It wasn't that he died of leukemia. I think it was under 18 months. And
wow.
He didn't seem sick when I was there. I mean, he's a large man. As you know, cancer patients usually get skinny, you know, the sicker they are. So, again, I don't want to speculate any further, but, you know, from the best of my knowledge, it was a leukemia death.
Okay. Very good. I just had one other thing to say. This is in regards to the caller that called from Chicago. I'm also in Chicago. And I got to tell you, brother, you know what? You're in the lion's den as far as, people, you know, being so pro-Obama. And I mean, you know, he talks about 80% of the people in his office being African-American and, you know, being like, the true minority. Well, of course, I mean, we all are. I mean, I voted for Chuck Baldwin, you know, and even where I work at, we're an extremely liberal organization, and, you know, I'm obviously, you know, a true conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, these people around here are completely snowed just like everybody else. I mean, and you really got to tiptoe around, and it's very frustrating because of the fact that you want to be able to voice your opinion, but you cannot.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, there is a lot of social pressure. I mean, I've been in an office workplace before where nobody agreed with me. And, In fact, you know, I'm sitting there listening to Alex Jones in my office, and people are coming in going, well, who's that, Rush Limbaugh? And then they listen for a minute, and they know immediately it's not Rush Limbaugh. So you kind of have to explain your views, and, you know, sometimes you're considered the kook out there. But, look, the proof is in the pudding. I can guarantee you that people are not going to be happier than they are a year from now. It's only going to get worse. So hopefully people will wake up through that. I thank you for the call.
Not a problem.
All right, let's jump to Lindsay in Ohio. Lindsay, what's on your mind?
Hello, Jason.
Yes.
Yeah, good to hear from you. First time I've talked to you, I've talked to Alex a couple of times. Just a quick thing about these two, I guess mainstream would call them incidences, of these two people that were shot by the police recently, the one by Bart and then the undercover cops in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I've seen a lot of it on alternative sources. I've asked a few friends this weekend during the big games and all that, there was people there, if they saw anything on mainstream news regarding this. All of them said no. Has there been anything on mainstream about this that you know of?
Yeah, let me see. The guy who was pinned down and shot in the chest in
by
the subway
Bart,
station, yeah. There was a little bit of coverage on CNN's webpage. In fact, the day after that had happened, a bunch of people were actually wearing signs on their back that said, don't shoot me. They were just white pieces of paper they taped to the back. A lot of people in protest. Actually, if you type that into Google, you can easily bring that up. So CNN did do a couple of news reports about that. But what happens with those is, all right, you'll see those on two of CNN's stations in the 24-hour news block, usually the stations that don't play a lot of the shows. In other words, it'll either be on CNN International that most people don't get, or it'll be on CNN Headline News, which isn't the main CNN station. And right now on PrisonPlanet.tv, we're showing you the clip. I mean, this guy begs for his life.
Most
of this stuff is literally local news. So CNN did a couple pieces about it. The people were very upset locally, as well they should have been. But you're right. This is a story that should still be in the news today. This should be on the front pages of paper. These guys should be being prosecuted, and it just isn't going to happen, is it? These guys are going to get away with what is murder. It's murder. And the murderers need to be tried and punished accordingly. That's what needs to happen. Lindsay, I thank you for the call. We're going to continue to take your calls, and then in the next hour we're going to have Matthew Medina from We Are Change San Antonio. It's InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was
a while ago.
We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Boom, boom.
All right, folks, we're back.
We
it's the Alex Jones Show. Beginning of the fourth and final hour coming up after this. Before we go back to your calls, and we're going to have Matthew Medina of We Are Change San Antonio on for about a half an hour, so if you hold on, we'll get back to your calls in the last half an hour. It's really been a hodgepodge of Pakistan, Biden, Obama, glowing pigs. What a day. What a day for the Alex Jones Show. But none of this is really possible without our sponsors and the good listeners of PrisonPlanet.tv and the people that buy our videos. So, you know, we hope that you go out there, you get a copy of Fabled Enemies, which I have right over here, or Truth Rising, or Alex Jones's Endgame. But one of the great sponsors we have is MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. And, folks, it's real simple. They're solar panels. It's solar energy. It cuts your bill. In case there's a power outage, you have power. You know, Jesse Ventura, he lives off the grid out in Mexico. Most of it is solar energy. It's time to get solar energy if you don't have it. I mean, my friends' parents have had it for years, and it works great. It heats their pool. It heats their, you know, their garage, the cool house. I mean, they don't spend any electricity on that at all. That's where, you know, me and my friends used to spend our days when we were in high school. The number is 1-877-327-0365. That's 1-877-327-0365, and it's mysolarbackup.com. solarpanelsfor.com if you want to get some solar panels and, you know, help us out, help our sponsors. It's something we believe in. It's something that works. Again, you're going to cut your electricity bill. You're going to cut your dependence on, you know, I don't know what it is out here where I am. It's National Grid. It's NYSEG. It's all the good people that want to charge you variable rates for your energy that they can jack up at any moment. Just the facts. All right, let's try to squeeze in another caller before we go to the top of the hour. Let's go to Peter in California. Peter, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just calling to say you're doing a great job, and I think the truth is out there, and lots of people know, but there's still a lot of people that don't know. Mm-hmm. And I came up with an idea how to spread the word among people that don't really go on internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, and I started doing that here, but I would probably want more support. And that's just using their system against them, which is writing the information on the banknotes. And I don't know if somebody thinks it's a good idea.
They should. Oh, no, it's a great idea.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, you throw Infowars.com on a $5 bill in big letters, people notice it. You throw PrisonPlanet.com on there. You throw, you know, LooseChange901.com. You know, all this stuff is positive because people take a look at it, and even if they don't realize it, it's in their subliminal. You know, they'll remember it for a moment, and then if someone else introduces it to them, they're more apt to take a look. Continue.
If you still have to use the cash, then if you still have to use their money, use it and use cash and use the smallest nodes and just try to write or print as many as you can. And people usually don't notice that, but after some time, like, some people do, so it'll be good. The other thing that interested me was, like, the cancer you were talking about.
Yes.
And I think there is a lot of truth in it, especially when you hear about people that died of cancer recently, like, also Aaron Russo, Anthony Radziwill, maybe even Jackie Kennedy. I'm not so sure about that. But,
well, you know what? I don't know whether they're injecting these guys with little, like, you know, pellet guns of ice like they had in the church committee where they showed that the CIA had these little ice guns where they could just inject somebody with poison or a disease. But I do know that cancer has run rampant mainly because we put cancer viruses in our vaccines. They're delicious. All right, we'll be back at the top of the hour with Matthew Medina from We Are Change San Antonio. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes. It is the fourth and final hour of the Alex Jones Show. And hopefully we have our guest on the line. He's somebody that's affecting change in his local area, San Antonio, about an hour away from Austin. And, you know, that's what's great about truthaction.org. That's what's great about wearechange.org. There is no taking orders from headquarters, man. It's all about doing it yourself, becoming your own leader, and finding effective ways to reach others. So without further ado, hopefully we're going to go to Matthew Medina. We thank you for being on, Matthew. What's on your mind today?
Hey, great to speak with you, Burmes.
No, it's great to have you on, man. And why don't you tell people how you got involved? I mean, from your awakening to 9/11 Truth or the Patriot Movement in general, and then how you got involved. What was the process?
Yes, sir. It started with watching the actual events of 9/11, and what grabbed my attention was the footage of the Dance of Palestinians and the commentary saying that they were actually celebrating us being attacked almost within 10 minutes of the attack happening. I was like, what? So we did a little web search and found InfoWars, Road to Tyranny. And I would basically tell all my friends, all the B-boys, all the breakdancers I would know at the time, I would tell everybody about it, and it was just kind of conspiracy-ish. And I kind of let it go. I check InfoWars, and comes the Ron Paul Revolution in San Antonio, and I joined the meetup. I started campaigning, going door-to-door in all my neighborhoods, basically doing the whole campaign and grassroots activities. And then as the campaign started to die down, I mean, I was just getting warmed up, and still am to this day. And so I started We Are Change San Antonio at the end of the summer. It's been about 6 months, and pretty much we've been busy, 2 or 3 activities a month, handing out about 500 DVDs a month. And with the help of Harlan and Brave New Books and a lot of fellow activists that actually all pitch in and keep this group running, we've been able to reach, I would say, thousands of people already. We're always meeting with people on the street.
Exactly, and you're not just armchair quarterbacks, and you're not just sitting on a forum on the internet. You're actually organizing, probably through the internet and, you know, through phone calls, but then you're actually grouping up, you're taking movies that are on the internet, you're burning them to DVD. You know, again, a lot of people don't understand, yeah, we do fund this operation in part by our films, but we give them away for free, not only on the net, but we say, hey, if you're making copies to make other people aware, we want you to do that. We want you to hold screenings in libraries, in churches, in other places where you can hold events so that people can get this information, so that you can turn that light on and at least get them thinking, you know, outside of the box, outside of this, you know, paradigm of Obama or McCain. Obama or McCain, we were never even given a choice. They pushed Obama on us since really, you know, I mean, they started in 2004 and they made their decision in the primaries that he was going to be the one instead of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, his whole team talks about how they expected to be president since May. So, you know, this is obviously a front for a larger organization. Who did you vote for, actually?
I voted for Chuck Baldwin. I mean, yeah, I wanted to vote for McKinney. I know you're big on McKinney. so am I. No, McKinney's a hero to me, but, you know, the Ron Paul backing.
That doesn't hurt, does it? And you know what? That's what I was saying on the show yesterday. I was saying, you know, it would have been great to see a Ron Paul McKinney ticket. You know, Ron Paul at the head, or even vice versa. Either way, I think that they could really learn from each other and work well together. It's just like Dennis Kucinich jumping on a ticket like that. Really, Kucinich has become somewhat of a superhero in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Ron Paul McKinney ticket would have been like Superman and Batman. And now you got Kucinich saying, oh, the Federal Reserve is this Federal Express.
That's amazing.
A lot of people are stepping up.
And that is stepping up. But again, the mainstream media does not even cover Mr. Kucinich's comments. And unfortunately, the only time that you can actually see those comments is if you catch him live on C-SPAN. You know, and that's
YouTube.
YouTube. But I mean, on the television, you know. And that's why we need people out there to get that to us. You know, I need people to record that on TiVo, transfer it to DVD, send it to, what is it, Suite 100, 3000 South Lamar. Everybody knows the address. Send it to us. We need these tapes. We're going to be back after this with Matthew Medina. It's the Alex Jones Show. We are Change San Antonio.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're back. And you know what I forgot to plug in the first, you know, 3-plus hours of the show? Is that Alex Jones is really giving away a piece of history on eBay. And it's going to be used to help fund the info war, much like the Money Bomb has. I mean... Just what from your seeing in the new office, you know, the television, it's getting a little slicker. You know, our guests look better. I mean, this studio is just, I'm loving it. I mean, it's awesome. It's a dream come true to be able to sub in for Alex Jones and such a quality studio. I mean, when I used to go down to KLBJ, in fact, I was down there yesterday. I was like, wow, this is a really nice studio. Well, guess what? Alex Jones's new studio blows KLBJ out of the water. And I love it. It's awesome. So how do we help fund this thing? Well, he is auctioning off Tyranny Crusher 1. That's Tyranny Crusher 1. And it is the infamous bullhorn that he used in Scanner Darkly. He's used to confront the Bilderberg Group and many other, you know, puppets of the elite and the elite themselves. So I hope you go to eBay. It's up to quite a bit right now. Serious bidders only. But, you know, whatever this goes for, there it is, Tyranny Crusher 1. Oh, man, that's so awesome. I tried to scam it last summer when he was here, and it wasn't working. I'm like, I'll take it. But seriously, it would be great just to put that in a big plaque, you know, put it in a piece of glass next to maybe a picture of Alex or a cover of one of his movies. It really makes a nice centerpiece for your den or your hockey room or your trophy collection or whatever. I mean, this is a real piece of history. And after we win, I really think that, you know, this might end up in a museum someday. So, you know, laugh at me if you will, but Alex Jones is really out on the forefront of this, and he's really an inspiration for me and really got me involved at the level that I'm involved now. All right, we have Matthew Medina of We Are Change San Antonio on the line, and why don't you tell people, Matthew, some of the actions that you're going to take in the future, what you have planned, and then how you can join the organization.
Okay, this last Saturday, actually, we had a 9/11 truth booth in Houston, Texas at a really big B-boy jam. That's a breakdance jam or contest, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it was put together by a Vicious Germs crew. They're a group of B-boys, and they support 9/11 Truth and getting information out. They allowed us to have a booth there, and we got out over 100 DVDs, flyers. And as far as future actions, on January 24th in Austin, Texas, and if you're still around, Burmese, we'd like for you and anybody from the InfoWars crew to come join us on the streets of 6th Street. Mm-hmm. Downtown Austin.
And that's a place to go, because 6th Street is, it's not only legendary, but you go down there on a weeknight and it's packed house. A weekend, we're talking extremely packed house. Unfortunately, I do leave on the 17th, but I think it's very important that we're reaching out to the youth. I think a B-boy jam is somewhere where you normally wouldn't see 9/11 Truth, and we're bringing it there. You know, I'm pleased to say that it has leaked into some pop culture that I appreciate. You know, Head PE comes out with an album tomorrow,
yes,
I believe,
sir.
called New World Orphans. And, you know, that reaches out to the punk rock crowd. You know, that's a crowd that I can relate to. So many people are working so hard to get this patriot movement message out there. And when you're going to a concert or a B-boy thing, you're not expecting this, but you're more prone to take a look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the reason we chose January 24th on that tip, Jason, is KRS-One will be performing in Austin at 8 p.m. Saturday. And as you know, and a lot of 9/11 truthers know, he's actually come out for 9/11 Truth, and he's always been a big supporter of free thinking, information flowing ever since the 80s. So
well, you know, not only from the 80s, but he did a track back in the 90s with Zach De La Roca of Rage Against
and
the Machine.
Last Emperor.
Yeah. Called CIA or Criminals in Action. And it's You Claim I'm Selling Crack, but you be doing
that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's a jam. That's what I'm saying. KRS-One is an icon to me, and hopefully we'll
noise.
Get to meet him. Yeah.
And, you know, he gave a pretty good interview out in New York City on the weekend of 9/11 Truth that We Are Change New York put together with Luke Radowski, another, you know, just great, great activist. And that's another thing. You know, you're not waiting from orders from Luke Radowski or the New York chapter of We Are Change. And neither is the, We Are Change chapter in Colorado or the We Are Change chapters in California. Everybody's doing their own thing, and it's very decentralized. And what it does is it reaches out to people on the street, people that normally wouldn't even be political. And that's why this is very encouraging to me, Matthew.
Hey, and we also put together, I organized the San Antonio in the Fed event, sorry. Mm-hmm. We put that together, and we worked with a lot of local activists. We worked with Campaign for Liberty, Austin Campaign for Liberty, John Birch Society, the local Libra magazine, We Are Change Austin, and all of us working together with a common goal. We put together a fantastic event. Local news showed up. We got in the newspaper. It was really a big first-time thing for the San Antonio Truth Movement.
Exactly, and just realizing that you can have an effect and then having the will to actually do something to create that effect. In other words, there has to be a cause for the effect. You have to go out and do something. You can't just really think real hard and all of a sudden 9/11 Truth is gonna come out worldwide. No, you have to take to the streets, you know. And movements that have been successful, like, you know, the Civil Rights Movement and Martin Luther King Jr., one of the key aspects of that, and of course this was long before the internet, but it was people out in the streets. And unfortunately, I have not seen that many people in the streets other than for anti-war protests, which really just don't get to the heart of the issue. Here we are in a war on terror that is endless. We are now 7+ years into that war on terror. We've been in Iraq for almost 6 years now. No end in sight there. So obviously, there's something wrong with the approach that we're taking to saying, end the war, end the war. Well, why should we end the war? Well, because it's been based on false pretenses and on a false flag terror event. So in order to end the war, I think it's imperative that we expose that fact and then hold real trials and hold people accountable for their roles in 9/11. Not only people, but organizations in general. You know, it has to be exposed that the Israeli Mossad had a hand in 9/11. It has to be exposed that the Pakistani ISI had a role in 9/11. It has to be exposed that insiders in this country had a role in 9/11. And they have to be brought to trial. And I think that's the only way that you're going to see this change in society. And, you know, again, it really wasn't brought up that much, but there was an initiative on, you know, the Change website, you know, the official Barack Obama website. And people were able to put their number one ideas set forth. And the number one idea for like 2 or 3 days was set up an independent investigation into 9/11, reinvestigate it, and it was just completely pulled. Anything 9/11 related was completely pulled. At first, they figured, oh, it's early on. We'll just change the page. Instead of the front page saying 9/11 truth, we'll make them go to another page, and we'll just put on the new ideas. But then it was still dominating all the other popular ideas. So what do? They just don't even acknowledge it exists. They just erase it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, how do we get past that? I mean, obviously we got to keep pushing forward, but I think that it's important that we expose that to people that, you know, this Obama campaign wants nothing to do with 9/11 truth, that the internet is being censored, that Google Video will pull your video. They will freeze your comments. They will freeze your hit count. YouTube will do the same thing. So I think that we have to make people aware of this subject and then circumvent them by taking a personal approach, much like the one you're doing.
Yeah, and you would be surprised, Jason. There's something called First Friday here in San Antonio every first Friday of the month, and it's kind of like an art scene that shows up there. Art galleries, and, you know, you got your trendsters, you got your older folks. It's really a mixed crowd of people, and we're always out there, and we get a lot of the responses like, oh, yeah, we already know about that, and they keep walking, but we're like, well, there's more to it than that, like everything you just mentioned, all the way up to the Obama presidency. And that's something we're also trying to break ground on. A lot of the events, we won't just hand out 9/11 info before the election. We're handing out flyers that compared McCain and Obama. We've handed out flyers on the Federal Reserve. This past First Friday, we're out there handing out info about Codex Alimentarius and GMO food. So really, I mean, we have to hit all the fronts in the info war.
Yeah, you're running the gamut. You know, and that's an important thing to do. You know, America, freedom to fascism is one of the most effective tools out there. And it still has not been watched by the majority of Americans. So that's a great video to hand out.
Yeah, we find out hundreds of copies of Washington You're Fired, another great flick as well.
Yeah, you know, we carry that over at Infowars.com. And Washington You're Fired is a great flick. It really, you know, when we had William Lewis on there, he said, you know, we really took the conspiracy out and just went with all these things that were just publicly in your face. And some of the people are telling me, oh, we think that Obama's executive orders are going to be to exonerate the Bush administration. Well, I think the Bush administration exonerated themselves with the Military Commissions Act when they said that nobody in the administration could be prosecuted on any war crimes from September 11, 2001 on. So I don't think that Obama even needs to do that. You know, I think that what we're going to see is a massive re-regulation of the economy. You know, whether that be an Amero or some other type of system, I think we're going to see banks go under. And, you know, Tarpley has really talked about the New Deal. And in my town, you know, the little high school town I grew up in, you could see the Works Progress Administration signs. And people who don't know what the Works Progress Administration, it's what Roosevelt set up to give state jobs and federal jobs to people that had nothing. And they built some infrastructure. And, I mean, that infrastructure lasted a long time. I mean, my sidewalks still have that. So I think that you're going to see those type of programs brought back where people will be, you know, working on roads and railways because there'll be nothing else.
Building toll roads like we
toll
do
roads.
With here in Texas.
It'll probably be – you're right. It'll probably be more infrastructure for the Securities and Prosperities Partnership, which, as Vicente Fox said, isn't going as fast as he would like.
Yeah, so, and that's actually another front on the info war we need to get out on the streets. And a lot of people see it here in Texas, but we want to show them how they can take action and we can have local victories in this fight.
What's the website?
Excuse me?
You with us, Matthew? What's the website people can go to?
Our meetup is on the URL is sanantoniotruth.org, mm-hmm. and that links to our meetup. Anyone in Austin can go to meetup.com/wearechangeaustin. As well, our YouTube page, youtube.com/wearechangeSA, and I'd ask everyone to subscribe to the videos. We're going to have a montage video of us at the B-Boy Jam in Houston with our 9/11 Truth booth, and we're working together with HoustonTruth.org, Eddie, Dickey, Chase, and Ben from Houston, and we'll have that video on the YouTube page tonight, hopefully.
Sounds good to me, and remember, no matter where you are, whether you're in a different country, you're in a different state, you can start your own chapter of We Are Change, or you can join a chapter of WeAreChange.org. We got Matthew Medina. We'll be back. We're going to take your phone calls after this. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes. He will answer anymore.
All right, it's the not Alex the Jones Show. Drinking Indian or the I don't know any whiskey drinking Indians, but then again, I don't know many Indians at all because we wipe most of them out. And that's why we had Russell Means on last week from the Lakota Tribe. Pretty interesting how they're trying to set up their own bank where they only accept silver and gold as currency. That's genius to me. I mean, with this economy, you know, hard assets seem to be the only thing that we're going to have. And like I said, I don't know how they're going to restructure it. I do know that that's going to retain value and that fiat currency is eventually going to fall. And, you know, Matthew Medina of We Are Change San Antonio, that's one of the big issues, and that's why you did the End the Fed rally, correct?
That's correct.
I mean, yeah, again, there's so many ways to get involved, and this is such a multifaceted issue. I find, you know, again, you're going to a B-boy concert, so you go there with 5 or 10 members of We Are Change. I think that those people need to relate to, you know, people that they think that they can, you know, talk to. Someone they start a conversation up with on something totally and completely unrelated. And then work your way into 9/11 truth, or work your way into the truth about the Federal Reserve, or work your way into the truth about the bailout.
Well, which is easy to do because it actually does affect our everyday life.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls. Hopefully we still have Rudger in Idaho. Rudger, what's on your mind?
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Is this Albert Schweitzer, I presume? No, it's Jason. That's right. I was surprised my telephone number is not blocked. I'm blocked from making posts on Infowars.com. I myself voted for Jesus Christ. I wrote that, and I think I'm going to go where white men fear to tread here. When you can have Michael Collins Piper on to discuss the JFK assassination, author of the book Final Judgment.
Uh-huh.
When?
Oh, well, when are we going to have? I don't know. I don't book the guests, but you seem pretty adversarial. Let's cut him off. I mean, first of all, he started out with the hold on. You started out with the comment that we don't let you post on InfoWars.
That's correct.
And that's just correct. Not... Hold on. The only reason that you wouldn't be able to post for InfoWars is if you were putting racist comments continuously and they had to block your IP, or if you were you know, threatening people with violence and they had to block your IP. It's an open forum. No one screens your phone call here. They ask you what your name is and where you're from. I know John Harmon. I know how it works here. I know Jaron. They don't go, okay, what do you want to talk about? Oh, you can't talk about that. You talk about anything you want on here. I've met Michael Collins Piper on several occasions. I've spoken at events with him. We actually had a pretty good conversation after I previewed. This was long before Fabled Enemies was even, you know, anything other than an idea of mine, but about probably 8 to 12 months before I put it out, I'd basically done a lecture on the international spying, the Pakistanis, the Israeli connection to 9/11, and we had a long talk after that, and he apologized for the way that, you know, American Free Press had slandered, you know, myself and others in the 9/11 truth movement as some kind of operatives. You know, that's why it gets so ridiculous, man. I have to sit here and defend myself from, you know, Jason Burmis is Israeli Mossad. Jason Burmis is a shape-shifting lizard person. Jason Burmis is under Vatican control. And that really just diverts attention away from real solutions. And, you know, solutions like you're trying to put forth, Matthew. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we see a lot of this going on in the movement. People provocateering, and then they turn their behavior and they act innocent. Mm-hmm. Like we saw Robert Wanick dealing with a situation that he made a video about, and it's when people show their fruits and reveal themselves to be in this kind of behavior, we just need to stay away from that and keep on the positive.
And did you notice how this guy said white man? You know, white man?
Yeah.
Listen, brother, we're all human beings. I hate to tell you, if somebody's got a little extra tone on their skin, it doesn't mean he's not a human being. White men? No, we're human beings, and I'm sick. You know, it sucks because racist sites like you know, Stormfront and all that sometimes link to InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.com, and they try to associate themselves with us. Look, we're not a racist organization, man. All right, I'm sorry. I don't hate the Jews. I don't hate the blacks. You know, I'm not going to call people ragheads. I mean, it's just all about dehumanization. It's ridiculous, man. That call pissed me off. It really did, you know. And then he tries to incorporate himself with Jesus Christ, like Jesus is bringing forth the racist word.
and we're censoring him. Oh, when are you going to have this guy? Come on, give me a break, man. If you really think that one race or religion rules the world, you're absolutely and completely lost. Matthew, finish it up for us in the next 30 seconds.
Okay, just go to YouTube, check out our YouTube account, We Are Change SA, and hopefully it'll inspire you, show your brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, it's the youth taking action, and we could do it in a cool, hip, fun way, and it's fantastic, spreading truth.
All right, thank you so much for coming on. It's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, and Alex is on vacation for the week with his family, a much-deserved vacation. And we're going to keep taking your calls, but before we go to the next call, I really want to address Rutger, okay? The ignorant things that were spouted out of his mouth were something out of the Boondocks cartoon, and I have the picture up. I mean, this guy is basically a white version of Uncle Ruckus. I don't know if you guys actually watch the show, but they have the self-loathing black guy over there who's making racist comment after racist comment. And, of course, you know, they're the bad guy. I mean, this guy is basically the white Uncle Ruckus. Look, get over it, man. We're human beings. I mean, Uncle Ruckus praises white Jesus, too. Well, let me tell you something. There is no white Jesus. If you actually believed in Christianity and the Word of God, you know, human being is a human being, my man. But you wouldn't understand that because, you know, you've been fed with all these crazy ideas that anybody outside of, you know, the white Anglo-American lifestyle or race is out to get you and is inferior for some reason. I never get the racist, man. I feel like Martin Luther King Jr. was correct. You judge a person not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Imagine that, the content of their character. You judge somebody based on what they do in life, how they treat people. Wow. Not what they look like, really? We're going to get past that whole superficial. I know they might be wearing some cool hipster clothes or a nice shiny uniform that you're supposed to, you know, bow down and obey to, but I don't think it should really matter what color they are. You know, maybe that's a lie that people fell for back in the 30s when the Nazis came to power and it was kill everybody, you know, because they killed white people too, just like the communists did. You know, they killed a bunch of gypsies, homosexuals. They killed people that they felt were not up to par. In other words, you know, the mentally ill, people with Down syndrome. They killed white people too, you know. Basically, when they start killing people in mass like that, it's not just killing other races. They get you to hate those races and then you die too, because it's really all about them killing everybody but themselves. But you don't get that because you're a racist moron. But that's live radio, and you know, Alex isn't here, so I'm sure you can call in right now and savagely attack me if you'd like. All right, let's go to Frank in Boston. Frank, what's on your mind?
Yes, thank you, Jason. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Well, first of all, I'm a prideful truther, and I don't know any other way to. I can't prove that to you. I've been accused of being a provocateur. I'll be honest with you, and I hate that. I'm a graduate of the University of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I discovered the truth movement through Eric Humschmid's videos, and also then got turned on to the whole Building 7 thing, and then found Alex Jones, and then the rest is history. So for 3 or 4 years, I've been involved in the movement. I'm in Rhode Island, so I'm aware of our We Are Change chapter here in Rhode Island. I've talked to Luke several times, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I am not a provocateur, but I do have very critical opinions about where this movement has come from and where it has gone and where it seems to be not going at this point. And you asked a question earlier, and I can't remember every word specifically you said, but your question was, how do we get past this? I think you were referencing the idea that we can educate as many people as we can, but how do we get that message into a place of motivation? And
how do we get it so that people are mobilized in the streets, so that we have numbers in the street? Okay, continue.
That is a very good question, and I do think it goes to the point of where my critique is. We can't. I hate to even use the term mainstream media because I think it turns it too much into this big monster that is unidentifiable and unreckonable. It's not the case. I mean, the mainstream media is made up of specific institutions, and it's made up of specific people and specific roles. Mm-hmm. And I think that to just kind of throw our hands up in the air, or, and again, I'm not saying this is what everybody's doing, but mm-hmm. to come to some convenient cop-out that, oh, you know, the way for this movement forward is really just this home, this organic process of one by one, everyone waking up. You know, I understand the value of that. Hey, that's how I got on board. But, mm-hmm. like yeah, that's how I got on board. It just happened. I looked at someone's website, and they showed Building 7 going down, and then I did a little more research, blah, blah, blah. So I came on board through that organic process. Mm-hmm. But why are we restricted by that? I mean, everything that happens in our culture, whether we like it or not, operates through some pre-existing paradigm, which we can either deal with or we can make believe it's not there and just sit back and just...
I'm just wondering what paradigm you think that we can reach the most people. Because, you know, like I was telling, you know, me and Rob were having a discussion the other day of, you know, the power and influence of TV and how TV has really been their tool to dumb us down. But I said, well, you know, that's just it. It is just another tool, just like a hammer. You know, I can use a hammer to go and fix my house, you know, build a shed, or I can go and use it to bash my neighbor's head in. You know, that's
okay, Jason,
a tool.
That's a great symbolism there. But what I would say is, look, I don't think the paradigm or the way to address the paradigm is wrapped up in apps and having to articulate every nuance of it.
Okay.
Here's the reality, is that when you claim that 3,000 people were murdered on 9/11, which I buy into that, and they were murdered by not the 19 terrorists, but by elements that are unseen within our government or whatever, corporate structure, domestically, mm-hmm. yeah, I believe that there is a conspiracy there. Mm-hmm. When you believe that, you either act like that you believe that, or you don't act like you believe that. And I would say the one thing that the average American is smart enough to know is whether someone's being consistent with what they say and what they do. And in this movement right now, with all due respect to all of my fellow truthers, mm-hmm. I do not believe, and I'll plead guilty to this as well, that we act the way that we believe. If we really believe what we say, are we acting consistently with that? And I'm not pointing fingers, but I do not think we are. You might say to me, "What should we do then?"
Well, I don't think it's that. I think that people have to get over themselves. You know, we just had Matthew on, and you know, here's a guy that's taking action. Not everybody's Matthew. You know what I mean? Not everybody's out in the streets. I mean, he acknowledged the fact that we're not going to reach everybody on the internet, and that's why he went to a B-boy dance off. You know what I mean? You know, I mentioned, you know, that punk rock band, Head PE. I mean, they're putting out albums trying to reach the youth that are just there usually to, you know, mosh and have a good time. They're not really into the politics. So people are slipping it into the other aspects of life, but I don't think enough people are doing that. I mean, continue, Frank. I mean, if you think that you have a solution, we're all ears here.
Okay, I think it makes a lot of sense to cater your invitation to awakening to the people you're talking to. I mm-hmm. agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think that there's this underlying current in this movement of and again, I'm not a provocateur calling for violence against people or anything like that. But there is this undercurrent of passivity or pacifist nature to this movement, which if someone could make a cohesive argument how that actually serves the justice in the accounting for what we believe has been done, I'm all ears. But well, Jesus, again, I don't want to turn this into religion, but I'm not saying Jesus Christ, I'm saying Jesus as a person. He ended up being murdered by the system that he spoke passively about, okay? Mm-hmm. We either are going to be martyrs, or we're going to go out there and we're going to actually, how can I put this, Jason? What I'm saying is this movement has to be open to leadership. I was going to open with you and say, are you an anarchist? I was going to ask you that, not because I'm accusing you of it, but to get a sense of perspective on what you think about human beings organizing themselves into some meaningful front. I mean, I am not an anarchist.
The anarchist movement, to me, is a way to try to take, people that – you know, are disinterested with the system, they've given up on the establishment, and then it doesn't really give them anywhere to go other than to try to be quote-unquote anti-establishment. I thank you for the call, Frank. I mean, I don't have all the answers. I will say this, though. I don't think that, you know, you talked about either we're going to be martyrs or you're not sure. And, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I do think that's it. I don't think that we can win an armed battle. I'm pro-Second Amendment, but, dude, there's no way we're going to go out in the streets. These guys have sound weapons. They've got tasers that are shot wirelessly 30 feet from a shotgun. You know, I mean, they can hit you with a satellite. The drones they use. You know what? I just watched Eagle Eye a couple weeks ago. It really speaks to the Big Brother surveillance state. You know, it's probably an extension of enemy of the state that was out in the 90s. And I talk in films because that's what the general populace can relate to. Oh, I saw that movie in the theater. Oh, we're getting that on DVD. But that technology is there. So I don't know how, you know, maybe in rural areas, but even rural areas, if they send in troops, you know, you've got a shotgun, they've got an automatic rifle. You've got no armor, they're wearing dragon skin. So I don't know how any kind of an armed revolution is going to help this movement in any way, shape, or form, other than to demonize us, much like they demonized the militia movement of, you know, the early 80s into the early 90s when they blamed Timothy McVeigh for Oklahoma City. It's very easy to sway the public opinion of the sheeple out there when they have a tool like television and, you know, they control 95% of that television. It's very hard to combat that. I mean, it's not impossible. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. And we do have to figure ways out around it. I don't think you're a provocateur. I think that you're just, you know, strongly believe that we do need to change and try to reach more people. All right, let's go to Ronnie in Los Angeles, and then we're going to go to Scott in Pennsylvania, the first-time caller. Ronnie, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Jason? First off, I want to thank you for your work. And everyone out there, you know, actually doing something. I'm calling mainly about the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Sure.
There's this one scholar. He's the most prominent scholar I've seen so far. That's you know, well over informed about the situation. And his name is Norman Finkelstein.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
No.
I was wondering if maybe I could suggest that you guys get him on the show. He's written books like The Holocaust Industry,
mm-hmm.
Israel-Palestine Conflict, and he's been banned from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through pressure from AIPAC and other powerful Jewish entities. He's actually Jewish, and he's the son of two Holocaust survivors. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm Palestinian. And, you know, I'm a Muslim, and you know, I don't buy into this whole, you know, it's all about religion. It's not about religion. You know, there's wrong and right, and there's legal and illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, you just look at, you know, Ron Paul, and I thank you for the call, on the House floor describing how, you know, Israelis are the ones that created Hamas in the first place, created their enemy, radicalized their enemy, so that they could continue to fight them and expand their presence in Gaza. You know, when Cynthia McKinney goes there last week on a peace mission to try to give aid to the Palestinians, her boat is rammed by an Israeli ship. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there outside of religion. This isn't really about – religion is the cover. Religion is the front. You know, we all know what the elite's religion is. It's paganism. It's occultism. It's Luciferianism. It's different sects of that. Yeah, yeah, your Christian conservative leaders like to meet in the woods and do mock human sacrifices to a big owl god. I mean, most of you know that if you're listening. If you don't know it, challenge me on it. Hey, I mean, you can watch the ritual on Google. It's the real deal. You can see the pictures from their own internal annals. You can find out that it is the elite, that the Bush family's been involved for years, you know, that the Hearst family's been there, that Kissinger's there. Oh, by the way, they hatched the Manhattan Project, you know, that nuclear program at the Bohemian Grove. Oppenheimer, all those guys at the Bohemian Club, and they discussed it, and they're like, yeah, you know, let's build nuclear technology. And it wasn't in some kind of a public forum, you know. It was at the Bohemian Grove, these secret societies. It's really, you know, the first step in intelligence organizations. That's what they are. All right, let's go to our first-time caller, Scott in Pennsylvania. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
I had four quick points that I just wanted to talk about.
Okay.
One was, has anybody thought that Powell's talking about lies like he did about WMDs?
Mm-hmm.
The second point is, this past Sunday there was a bill passed by the Senate to give 2 million acres to the Agenda 21 program. And the third point is, everybody should sign up for a campaign for liberty.com.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to have some change in their local politics. Mm-hmm. And the fourth item was the Lakota Bank isn't endorsed by Russell Means. I've heard a couple people talk about it on your show, mm-hmm. but as far as I know, it hasn't been endorsed by him. So I'll get off
the agenda. Go over the Agenda 21 thing for me, because I'm not quite sure what that means. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, Agenda 21 is a program by the UN to steal land and to make...
This is how they got all the national parks, right?
Right.
Back in the early 90s, this is covered in Alex Jones's America Destroyed by Design. But continue.
Right. This past Sunday, they had a special session in the Senate to give over 2 million acres in California and a few other states to, they say it's to America, but it's actually going to be ceded to the United Nations.
Well, I'd really appreciate it if you emailed that information to Aaron at Infowars.com. That is a story that we need to do. I thank you for the call. We got to move on. I mean, folks, it's been going on for years and years and years, and the more land they give up, the more suspect it becomes. I mean, are they going to put in NATO troops? Is this where they're going to make the makeshift FEMA camps? Are they just going to restrict our movement even further? I mean, that's part of the plan, is to restrict us into this grid where we all live in compact cities. You know, it's in their own plans, and that's after they kill about 80% of us. Remember, Joe Biden talking about overpopulation in his little lovely article, How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Remember, Mao wasn't slick enough. We need to be a little slicker than Mao. Joe Biden, check it out yourself. That's his quote. We need to be a little bit slicker than Mao to pull off this whole globalist effort. We don't need to do it by the barrel of the gun. Let's brainwash the people and then soft kill them. That's the essence of it. All right, let's go to Steve in Florida. Steve, what's on your mind?
I was just about trying to get the word out about the mm-hmm. Federal Reserve. I saw Dennis Kucinich on the floor blaming them for the mess that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if Alex could get a hold of him. Maybe they could.
Listen, Kucinich was supposed to be on this week with me, and we just haven't gotten a response. You know how hard it is to get Dennis Kucinich? It's hard to get Dennis Kucinich. It's hard to get Ralph Nader. It's hard to get a lot of these guests. And believe me, he's been working on it, I think. I know since I've been here, we got to get Kucinich on the line. Get his people. Come on, Dykes. Dykes does like 7 jobs, all right? Dykes is now, you know, booking guests. He's uploading stuff to the website. He's writing. He's working on the new Obama film. You know, it's tough. And we want to get Kucinich on that, because that Federal Express, line is something we've been talking about on this program for years and years and years. And to see it on the House floor, not the House floor. I'm sorry, on the floor of Congress is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I never even knew anything about this. I mean, my dad is he was a CEO of a big company on the East Coast, and he thought that the Treasury made the money.
No, absolutely not.
We got stuck in the mortgage crisis, mm-hmm. and once someone kind of told me that, you know, because I always thought that it was the government that raised the interest rate 17 times in a row.
Well, first of all, what happens is the Federal Reserve banking system has a board of, I believe 13 members, and they serve 8-year terms. And you and I don't even vote on that. The people that we vote for office vote on that. And then they're given carte blanche, you know. That's why they hired Greenspan at that time, because Greenspan spoke out against them, and they made him join the league, you know, come to the Bohemian Grove. You will head the Federal Reserve. It's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, The Alex Jones Show. It's the final segment of the Alex Jones Show, and we're going to shoot through your calls really, really quickly now. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds each. You know, we had an interesting show today. We had some racists call in. We talked about glowing pigs. We really got down to who Joe Biden is. Not only his Pakistani relationship, but his globalist relationship. Remember, this is a CFR guy. This is a guy that's well aware of the New World Order. This is an establishment guy they picked. All right. If you missed any of the 4 hours, please tune into PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. We loop it. Become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. You know, before I was working with Alex Jones, I supported Infowars.com. I was a member, and now there's 100 times more things. You know, before you used to get his weekly program and just his movies, you get so much more now. Now you get a daily program It's not just a weekly program. You got a daily program. The guy's on 4 hours a day. I can't tell you how hard it is to do 4 hours of radio a day, but somehow I managed to do it. So without further ado, let's go to William in Alabama. William, what's on your mind?
I'll tell you that you need to check your MySpace as soon as you get off the air. I sent you some information today about a sheriff that's here in Pickens County, Alabama, mm-hmm. who ended up in El Paso, Texas this past weekend and stopped by the sheriff's department. I can't think of the name. I've got the news article right here in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was conflicting stories about why he was there. The news is saying that he was there to scope out jails because they're intending on making an expansion to the Pickens County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that I found, it don't make sense.
And what do you think it is?
I don't know.
Send it also to Aaron at Infowars.com, and we'll take a look at it. We'll see if there's anything suspicious. I thank you for the call. We thank you for the info. Let's jump to John in Ohio. John, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've asked people to check on the Google. Just Google up lies concerning the Soviet Union, lies concerning the Soviet Union, because I believe that one of the greatest cancers on this wonderful movement is accepting the global elite's secular religion, which is anti-communist propaganda. The bigger the lie, the more people have moved ahead in this society. We know about Operation Mockingbird. You can Google that up as well, where mm-hmm. the CIA recruited all of the media to concoct false propaganda about communism, the Soviet Union, the rest of it. I don't know where the truth begins and leaves off, but I know we've been told a massive amount of lies, and I think it is one of the greatest problems with some of the people on this network, that we're going to, in effect, be opposing most of what the elite is doing. But if we accept the Nazi propaganda and much of the stuff that we've come to believe that was imported by the CIA after the Second World War, bringing in thousands of Nazis, much of the things we think we know about the Soviet Union was concocted by Joseph Goebbels. It was a...
And you're referring to Project Paperclip, by the way, when they shipped in a lot of the top Nazis to work in our, you know, not only our scientific facilities, but our NASA really came out of there. So a lot of programs were built out of, Nazis. And the Nazis really never lost. They just relocated. That is the truth. I thank you for the call. Let's go to John in New York. John, what's on your mind? John in New York?
Yep.
Hey, what's on your mind, man?
You mentioned global warming swindle yesterday.
Yes, I did.
Great movie. I've got it. And it goes from start to finish as far as what, why global warming isn't happening.
Give us a 30-second synopsis before we go.
Well, if you've got that, you can go. But what I'm calling about is there's an extra features, and it's called Solar Variations in Clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you how the weather is influenced by the sun and cosmic rays.
Well, I'm going to have to get that as well. Great Global Warming Swindle is a great, great tool to wake people up to the propaganda that is global warming. I thank you so much for joining me today. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'll be with you tomorrow. I'm Jason Burmis, Infowars.com.